It's Wednesday, July 8th, 2026, 130 days into the war. And it just went hot again. The Strait of Hormuz is closed. Iran is attacking multiple countries.
Jones Network. Tomorrow's news today.
Nick Fuentes is joining us at 1 p.m.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Voțiune tanto, bucurne rapsi, la timpul soțelis. Voțiune amici, bucurne rapsu, tradintre pelis.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Everything I predicted a year ago, and I predicted 130 days ago when this war started, that Israel drug us into, has now happened exactly as I said it would. It wasn't hard to make that prediction. Some of my predictions are very hard to make. It was basically guaranteed, as the Pentagon said, a 92% chance they would not fall. Iran would come out stronger. In the end, would close the Strait of Hormuz and would humiliate the United States of America. Israel, run by Netanyahu, knew that. The Mossad chief and Ben-Gavir, their national security advisor, and their prime minister, Netanyahu, convinced Trump it would last 4 days, there'd be a Kurdish uprising, and they would fall. But it's now come out in the Israeli news, Times of Israel and other publications, that they knew that wasn't true, and the IDF told Trump, this is not going to work, don't do it. The Pentagon, the IDF, Tulsi Gabbard, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Joe Kent, 18 combat tours or whatever, told him, don't do it. So I know the president before did it in 48 years, but they did. And now the war is hot. Iran war hot. Oil spikes. Hormuz threat severe. Pentagon running out of money and munitions. Fighting a two-front war in Ukraine and in Iran. Iran hit Bahrain with missiles and hit Kuwait with missiles. In fact, we'll put that on screen. And it's going on right now. I mean, look at this devastation. So that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. And it's only going to get more intense and more insane because Iran is being belligerent and demanding $300 to $500 million and all U.S. troops out of the Middle East and a whole bunch of other stuff. They said, yeah, they'll stop enriching up to weapons grade. They'll let in UN inspectors. They've done a few things like that, but they hold the cards, which the Pentagon knew. So how deceptive were the Mark Levins and the Benjamin Netanyahus and the Ben Shapiros? All right, Trump just came out. I hear him in my feed, my ear. Trump just came out. He's about to make a statement. He's there at NATO, and we've got big developments there. Do I have that? We have Trump? You guys just sent me a feed of Trump in my ear, just so you know. Mics are open in there. So we're watching for that. That's about to happen any moment. Trump claims Islamic Republic of Japan shot at U.S. aircraft carrier in jaw-dropping gaffe at NATO. He also said that Zelensky is Putin, and he looks extremely exhausted. During the World Cup, he continued to fall asleep. I don't think he has full-blown dementia. I don't think that he isn't cognitive. I don't think that he's not smart. But he's 80 years old, and he works 21, 22 hours a day. I'm 52, and if I did that, I'd die of a heart attack. And I've got a lot of energy and can work 18 hours fine. But if I start working 24 hours straight, which I've done before, I am retarded the next day. Like on election night 2024, I stayed up for basically 2 days, and I didn't remember the last 6 hours or so. I mean, I was just wandering around like a zombie. How the hell does Trump do it? Well, the answer is he's not. He's buckling under it, and it's not good. We'll be right back with massive news, Nick Fuentes, and more. I'm Alex Jones. Share the live feeds now. Globalists are collapsing worldwide, but they're fighting back with tyranny, censorship, and more. And they have targeted my operation more than anybody else's. But that's okay. That means we're over the target. It means we're effective. And I couldn't have done any of this without you. All the success of my operation through the listeners, the viewers, your word of mouth, your support, and, of course, the great crew. And that's why I want to just thank you all as America approaches its 250th anniversary. We have to understand they're trying to demoralize us, trying to break our will. We can't let them do that. It's the globalists that are losing. We're actually winning. So, to celebrate America's 250th anniversary, we're launching the biggest sale in the history of thealexjonesstore.com. Buy one, get one free, ultramethylene blue. Buy one, get one free, bovine colostrum. Buy one, get one free, Shilajit complex. So incredible. And up to 60% off on all the other supplements, 50% off on all the Patriot apparel, limited issue, 250th anniversary, and more. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air and celebrate our American Republic, the globalist hate.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
During Operation Midnight Hammer in June of last year, over a year ago, 13 months ago, said they passed the law in their parliament, in their Congress. They said, if you hit us again in any major way, we will close the Strait of Hormuz and we will not basically negotiate with you. And we're dug in and we are parallel constructed. They're not vertically integrated, which means they operate autonomously in their different regions. And we are going to go to full war with you. We're 90 million people with high IQs, surrounded by mountains. It's a natural fortress. And if you think Vietnam was a problem, get ready. They actually said that. And the Pentagon said, don't do it. The Pentagon said, if you do want to hit it, you got to build other pipelines. You got to build other canals. They're going to close it. It's going to kill the economy. Trump's coming out live right now to address the situation from NATO. Let's go to it now.
Well, it's important stuff. And, you know, our team out here, they've all become stars, superstars, actually. But we want to thank you very much. We've had a tremendous time and I think a great success. And we just concluded a very successful NATO summit here in Turkey, and I want to thank President Erdogan, who's really a great man. He's a great leader. He's a friend of mine, been a friend of mine for a long time. He's a strong person, a very strong personality, and that's why he runs such a successful and good company, country, and really a great, I would say, a great country. Militarily, he's very powerful. People leave him alone, but he's really done a fantastic job, and from the moment we got off the plane, you look at the airports were beautiful. They built a new terminal for our arrival. Everything was beautiful. And so I just want to thank President Erdogan, who's done a fantastic job in Turkey. And I also want to thank NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte. Mark is an extraordinary person, smart, great leader. It's not easy leading so many leaders like that. You get a lot of leaders and their strong personalities, every one of them. And Mark couldn't find anybody better. I just want to say there was tremendous love in that room. The press got to see the sitting, but they didn't get to see the speaking. And I actually said it's too bad the press couldn't see this, because every one of them spoke for a little while. And I spoke for a little while, and it's a lot of speeches. We kept it short, but it's too bad the press couldn't have seen what we were doing in that room, because it was very smart people, and they have a lot of good in their heart, not evil, good. And they're doing a great job for their country. The world is doing well. We have, as you know, the oil is down. We'll see whether or not we keep it down. We should keep it down. We're doing things that should have been done 47 years ago with Iran. And I just want to say that throughout my first term and over the past 18 months, the United States has led a historic effort to dramatically increase the defense spending and to have equipment that no other country in the world has. When you look at Venezuela, when you look at Iran, essentially demolished their military in a couple of weeks. They had a good military. They had a good navy. They had 159 ships. Everyone's at the bottom of the sea. They had hundreds of airplanes. They're all gone. They're all lying burned up on the runways. They were totally decimated. Their radar is gone. Their everything's gone. Their leaders are gone, frankly. And their combat capability is pretty low. They have a small percentage of missiles left. They have some of the launchers, missile launchers left. Call them launching pads. But most of that's been destroyed.
But an economic war and attrition, so they're winning with the Strait of Hormuz, killing the world economy and your recovery and inflation exploding.
We have the strongest military in the world by far.
Okay, the ships are on the bottom. We got the strongest military in the world. Erdogan has a nice airport. I'm not trying to be mean, but this is what we're getting here.
We achieved an unprecedented.
We're going to be in Iran for years at this rate.
The annual defense spending, and it's the benchmark.
Israel's hyping ground invasion, but they're not going to invade. They want us to do it.
Which everybody said was impossible. And now they're all thanking me, and most of the countries have agreed to it. We have a couple of that didn't, but I have a feeling they're going to, and pretty quickly. In fact, today they were very positive. One of them in particular was, I didn't think, a good team player. Today was a great team player. As all of the leaders understand very well, the United States remains by far the largest contributor to NATO, monetarily and maybe otherwise, and the strongest military anywhere in the world. And they respect us as a country. Again, they didn't respect us 2 years ago. They laughed at us. NATO laughed at us. Everybody laughed at us. They don't laugh anymore. There's no more laughing. This year we invested a record $1 trillion in our armed forces, and we're going to be asking for $1.5 trillion coming up. We have the money being spent on the best equipment anywhere in the world. In the working session this morning, we discussed the progress other members are making toward the 5% target, and they're making great progress. Many of these countries are very rich, by the way. We don't have to feel sorry for them. But it doesn't mean they're properly protected. There's a big difference. Some have truly answered the call, and others are making big changes and will be answering the call. I think I can say in all cases they're going to be answering the call. And we'll be taking in over $1 trillion a year toward defense. And that's a tremendous amount of money. It's a big up. They were at 2%. They were actually at 1%. I got them to 2%. Then I wanted to get them to 5. And we got up to 5 the last time. And
that's their GDP, you know, just again, European countries.
If you've seen the respect and the love in the room, and it's love really for the country, for our country. I don't want to say me, because you'll say, oh, he's so conceited. He's such a conceited person. But they do. I mean, you know, they like the job I'm doing. They said, we love you. These are grown people saying that.
As long as they kiss his ass, he'll stay in the Ukraine war.
Get to me. And in a way they did, because there was tremendous unity in that room. And I urge all nations to accelerate their plans to get the benchmark as quickly as possible. The benchmark is going to be that 5% number. That's the number it should have been for years. As a result of the commitment we achieved last year, defense spending of other NATO members surged by more than almost $150 billion in 2025, and much of that money is being spent on American-made equipment. They all want American-made equipment. We're pushing very hard to have the defense companies, they're great. We make the best equipment, the Patriots and the Tomahawks, and everything we have is considered to be the best. Not by me, it's everybody wants it. I wish we made it faster because we could sell as much as we could make. And as you know, I had Lockheed and every one of the companies, all of the companies who were talking, Raytheon as an example, Boeing. So many of those great companies are now building plants. They had big plants, but they were using them 24/7. I said, that's not the way to do it. You have to build more plants. You don't have to just go overtime. No tax on overtime. Remember that, please? No tax on overtime. Those people are happy. But they were doing literally 24 hours to get the Tomahawks done and the Patriots done and all of the other
defensive. But he's telling you, as we're a war economy, just like the EU.
It's the most sought-after equipment in the world. You saw that with Venezuela, where they had a lot of great equipment. It wasn't ours, and it didn't work. Our equipment works, but we have to produce it faster for other countries. For everybody, including ourselves, we have to produce it faster. So we think
Trump is completely exhausted.
Year and a half max, we'll be, instead of waiting for a year or 2 years, we'll be having it on a two-week wait, maybe a one-week wait. That's what I want. And it'll do really well. A lot of people are, you know, just waiting. They're waiting. They want to get this defensive equipment, maybe in particular the defensive equipment, but offensive and defensive. Much of that money is being spent on American-made equipment. That's the money that the European and Canada are spending, European countries mostly, and Canada. And they're spending that with the United States, largely. And it's American-made, made in the USA, as we say. Weapons, munitions, supporting thousands of American jobs. This will increase. We have the highest number of jobs. Right now, we have the most people working in the United States that we've ever had in the history of our country. We have the biggest investment ever made, $19.2 trillion. That's six times more than we've ever had. Think of it, six times. And what did that were tariffs. Without the tariffs, I think we would have done fine, like at about two or three. The last administration had much less than $1 trillion invested for 4 years. We have $19.2 trillion invested in 1 year. We haven't gone into the extra almost a half a year, 1.5 years. Those numbers won't come out for a little while. So we have $19.2 trillion, not billion, not million, trillion, with a T, invested in plants and equipment that's being built
that's
all over
pledged.
The country.
About $5 trillion came in. Still big.
Plants.
That's true.
Drug, Merck, all of them. The drug companies are building. The car companies are building. Like
so we're getting the standard, hype up the American economy, so everybody wants to invest here. And that's how he's hoping to stave off the inflation, is with so many new jobs coming in and increased wages. And more wages getting to people, you'll still have inflation, but you'll be getting more money, so he thinks it'll balance out. We'll see if it works. Certainly working before this war started 130 days ago, or 130 days in. So Iran hit three ships, caused major damage. They've been saying we're going to reclose the Strait of Hormuz. It's basically been partially closed or choked off for much of 130 days. And Trump doesn't really want to talk about Iran, as you just saw during the ongoing press conference. The crew's watching it. If he gets into Iran, we'll have those clips for you. We do have some of his statements earlier today about it. And the Pentagon is not saying where they struck in Iran, but reporters, international reporters in Iran are reporting the three cities that did get hit. We'll be going over all of that. Iran is saying they will respond proportionately to that. And we have Bahrain and Kuwait having military targets hit, large explosions, still ongoing. So we'll continue to track that. Iran war hot, oil spikes, Hormuz threat severe, Pentagon running out of money and weapons. Just in, Iran strikes U.S. military sites in Bahrain and Kuwait as Trump declares ceasefire is over. That exploded oil prices. U.S. launches new strikes on Iran, revokes oil sales permit after three ships attack in Strait of Hormuz. Continuing here, Iran acknowledged the strikes but offered no word on any losses. Iran state media reported the sound of explosions in Bandar Abbas, Qasim, and Sirik. Iran Central Military Command warned it will respond decisively to this aggression and terrorist act. So we will continue to track all of that as it unfolds. Oil prices surge after Trump suggests U.S.-Iran ceasefire is over. It never really happened, folks. The war continues. The strait continues to be closed. Trump just keeps declaring that the regime changed. He keeps claiming victory over 50 times, as you know. And I just never wanted any of this to happen. I don't want to have to be sitting here reporting on this disaster, but that's the facts. Absolutely disgusting. Meanwhile, we have some really serious gaffes by Trump, who, again, is constantly dozing off. And when I've not been sleeping and staying up, which I've done routinely during special broadcasts and things, by the next day, I'll be sitting there in a meeting and just, hey, boss, wake up. And I'm 50-something. So I'm not trying to run Trump down. I mean, this is superhuman what we've seen so far. But it's just a fact. I don't know how long he can handle it under this pressure till he collapses or some other event like that happens. I mean, we are really doing some reckless stuff as a country right now, and Israel drug us into this, and we've been totally proven right about what we predicted with this war. Let's go ahead and go to a clip of Trump earlier today talking about Iran and these strikes that caused oil to explode, and then we're going to go back to back with just some of the gaffes. Trump claims the Islamic Republic of Japan shot at a U.S. aircraft carrier in jaw-dropping gaffe. He also thought that Zelensky was Putin, basically. So this is exhaustion, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is.
Have any questions?
Mr. President, is the ceasefire over? Is the ceasefire done? Is the MOU dead?
It's a very interesting question. To me, I think it's over. I don't want to deal with them anymore. They're scum. You know what scum is? They're scum. They're sick people. They're led by sick people. And they're vicious, violent people. And if they had a nuclear weapon, they'd use it. As far as I'm concerned, it's over. I'll speak to our negotiators. They want to negotiate. They're good
Iran
people.
Iran now says they have nukes. We just ignore it.
Jared Kushner. But they have to come back to me. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a waste of time dealing with them. They're liars. We make a deal. And they if I make a deal with him, we have a deal. And he goes out, he talks. We make a deal. Everyone's agreed. No nuclear weapon. We make a deal. They go outside, talk to the press. They say, we never even talked about it. There's something wrong with them. They're
back it up 10 seconds. No, they have agreed to guidelines, and then Israel strikes Iran, Israel strikes Lebanon. That's in the deal, not do that. And then the United States doesn't follow through either. And I'm not defending the mullahs, but this is what's happened here. And every time Trump says he has a deal, the official government of Iran says, you don't have a deal yet. This is just a memorandum to get to a deal. And then we get copies of the deal, and that's exactly what it is. So I don't want to just say, oh, the mullahs are being more truthful, because they lie about stuff too. But this is the facts. You've all watched it for 130 days. You've seen the whipsaw back and forth. You've seen the flip-flopping until it's become a joke, but it's dangerous. And it's sick. So he says, as far as I'm concerned, it's over, no deal. Well, that's what they said months ago. Every time they would have a negotiator show up somewhere, the Israelis would bomb them. So they've been saying, hey, we're just talking about a framework for a deal. There is no deal. Stop saying there's a deal. And by the way, we're going to start attacking ships. They've been doing it. They hit three overnight. And of course, Netanyahu is saying they got chemical weapons. I don't doubt that. The U.S. gave chemical weapons to Saddam during the U.S. backed Iran-Iraq war in the 80s. And yeah, Iran's, I told you, has nukes. You know, they're like, yeah, we can put one together in a week. Yeah, we put one together. Yeah, the old fatwa has been lifted. The new mullah says we can do that, which I told you they do. So Trump's acting like, well, I'm not making a deal now. They're not making a deal with us. And Israel knew we'd get in a protracted war. We're being sucked into a ground war. That's what Trump's been getting briefed on. I told you that before it even came out in the news. And now it's admitted. So if you think things are bad now, we're just the Titanic in the iceberg field. Because the owner of the company wanted to break the Atlantic passage from the UK to New York. They said, no, go through the iceberg field. And they got into it and didn't turn around. So we're in the iceberg field. We haven't hit the iceberg completely yet. We've hit a few small ones. It's knocked some dents in the boat, but we can still get out of the iceberg field. But Iran is being incalcitrant. Iran is being arrogant because they hold more cards than we do. Now, I think in the end, if they force us into full total war, they're going to end up losing. But it might take years. And now they're talking about years. Let's go back to Trump.
Everyone's agreed. No nuclear weapon. We make a deal. They go outside, talk to the press. They say, we never even talked about it. There's something wrong with them. They're cuckoo. As far as I'm concerned, it's over.
We'll resume after we get through the funeral proceedings.
What is over?
Does this mean that talks with Iran will not resume?
I don't care. They can talk, but I think they're wasting their time. They're a bunch of lying guys. I do it my whole life. That's all I do is deals. My whole life is that's how I became president, I guess. That's a deal, too, right? But I made a lot of money. I had a lot of great success. Now, tremendous success. Everything I did, I was successful. And I deal with these guys, and I say, this is from a different school. They're liars. They're cheats. They're sick people. They've hurt their people. They killed 54,000 people as of now that were protesting. You know, when people say, how come they haven't taken over? They can't take over because they're dead. They killed them. Nobody's going to take over. They have no guns, and the other side has machine guns. And they're killing them. The press doesn't report it. But they're bad people. They're bad people. And frankly, I don't want to waste my time with them. Now, I'll let our wonderful negotiators keep talking if they want, but I don't see it. I don't like these people. You know that? I like him. I like the leaders. I think all of these leaders.
Great. And they love
him. I think they didn't treat the United States fairly for many years, but that's okay. But they're sane, rational, good people. Most of them. I don't like a couple of them, to be honest. But there are a couple I don't like much. I like Erdogan. I'll tell you.
I mean, it's like we're in junior high, the way he talks now. He was always like this son, but man, this is just ridiculous. And they all fawn and kiss his ass, knowing they get what they want if they do that. The first administration, the system made fun of him, got in his face. They said, listen, the psychological warfare experts, no, that's not how you get Trump. You got to go in there and tell him how great he is. And I know Trump does actually care about the country. I know he actually thinks he's doing the right thing. But he's been proven wrong. And then the people that told him, Tulsi Gabbard, Alex Jones, Joe Kent, Tucker Carlson, this was a disaster. We're low IQ. We're fried. We're stupid. And now Israel denied this forever. Now they're expanding into Lebanon and expanding into Syria. Israel expands borders for protection against Iran, yet works to foil Trump's Iran peace plan, eyes future conflict with Turkey. And I told you that's the plan. Now he went on Fox 2 days ago, and Netanyahu said, yeah, they're the next target. Oh, wow, the biggest conventional military in Europe, where we store nuclear weapons. And Pakistan says if anybody attacks Iran with nukes, they're going to hit Israel with nukes. This is a runaway train. Let's go to break. I'll come back with the gaffes, make some more comments about this, and then I'm going to shift gears into the fact that before 9/11, we had 500,000 Muslims in the U.S. Europe had 500,000 total. Did you know that? There are 45 million Muslims we know of in Europe now. So that's like 100 times. But globally in the West, there's 40-plus times the Muslims in America, in Canada, in Australia, New Zealand. And over that, in many areas of Europe, most of the cities are basically Muslim. London, that's the biggest minority. There's no majority of any group, but it's the biggest minority is Muslims. That's right. White people from England are the minority, a smaller minority in London. And the Muslims are saying, we're here, we're the jihadists, we're taking over. Well, all they're doing is eliciting the Second Crusade, which is a response to 700 years of Islamic invasion. So we're not fighting them over there to keep them from coming over here. We're fighting them over there to stir them up and bring them over here. All part of a larger globalist, flowered and piven destabilization plan. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We're extending America's 250th mega sale, the biggest in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. That means this Monday the 6th and Tuesday the 7th at midnight central, the biggest sales ever. Buy one, get one free. Up to 60% off the best-selling supplements, Patriot apparel, 50% off, and more. Take action now at the AlexJonesStore.com. No republic, no empire, no nation has ever survived more than 250 years. But America has to survive. The idea of America, private property, the right to lead your own life, to follow your own religion or not, so many things that this country enshrined that no other nation had became the model of the world. That's why the left, why BlackRock, why the globalists, why the WEF, why the UN, openly want to discredit it. The elites don't like the idea of America because it allows the little people to have meritocracy and develop their own wealth and their own independence. The globalists want neo-feudalism. They want serfdom. They want a great reset to control us. So they've been trying to undermine this country, demonize this country, and blame all the problems in the world on the freedom of America and the West and Christianity and white people. But it's not working. The world is awakening to the Great Reset, and we are in the Great Awakening. That's why it's so important on our 250th anniversary that we remember what made America great and that we continue those values on in the face of tyranny. Because the ideas we're promoting work and are pro-human, are dynamic, and unleash the incredible competition of the human spirit and meritocracy. If we don't stand up for not just 1776 here in the U.S., but worldwide, then we allow the globalists, the megabanks, with their transhumanist, death cult, depopulation agenda to come in and sell their lie of collectivism, universal basic incomes, cashless society, control grids, the social credit scores, and the entire system of dehumanization that they're establishing. We are literally facing freedom or slavery. It's a choice we must take. So to celebrate this 250th anniversary, we have the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. 50% off on all of the incredible Patriot apparel. The widest selection, some of the best designs in the world. What an adventure to wear this apparel and meet like-minded people and spread the word. And then most importantly, the very best game-changing five-star supplements on the planet. Up to 60% off, and all the best sellers are buy one, get one free. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's a flash sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best on the market, buy one, get one free. Bovine Colostrum, the best, highest rate on the market, buy one, get one free. Shilajit Complex, that has all these natural peptides and boost your testosterone and more, buy one, get one free. As I said, it was 60% off on all the other supplements. The lowest is 40, the highest is 60. These are insanely good. All you've got to do is try them. We have over a 90% reorder rate at thealexjonesstore.com. And anyone who's shopping on the site should be a VIP. Cancel anytime. It's $30 a month. Instantly when you're charged, $40 is put in your account to spend on the site. You make $10, special deals, special offers, and sales on top of the sales, making a bunch of stuff loss leaders if you're a VIP. So become a VIP, commit to the American Republic in the year 2026. Help keep the broadcast on the air so we can expand the Alex Jones Network. It's a win-win. So to celebrate America and to stand against the globalist death cult, please support your own future and my future, our collective future together, by individual action at thealexjonesstore.com. Happy birthday, America. I salute all of our founders, our veterans, and all the patriots out there. God bless you all. We're extending the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Let me finish up with the Iran disaster that Israel publicly drug us into and brags they did. There's a lot of telegraph. They're dead on. Iran's regime is now stronger than before Trump's war. We need to say Netanyahu and Trump's war to be accurate. And it goes over all the things I've already said. This is a fact. They now are in the dominant position. This is an unmitigated disaster for the economy, for America's standing in the world, for the midterms. That's where we are. That's a fact. And you can thank the neocons and the Ben Shapiros and Mark Levins and Trump for this. And Trump just played it last segment. He just joined us. He's just there at NATO saying, it's over, I don't care, there's no deal. We'll just have war endlessly, basically. Don't worry, we'll make a lot of money off weapon sales. But comparatively with the weapon sales, what's going to do to oil and gas already exploding, what's going to do to the general inflation, it's just going to be devastating. Jet-lagged Trump walks up in furious mood as he torches Iran, Spain, Denmark, and NATO allies. Yeah, we got that video. Trump speaks at NATO summit. President says U.S. will teach Ukraine how to manufacture Patriot missile systems, blast member nations for failing to join Iran war, renews demands to acquire Greenland. So that's where we are. And he's like, nope, no deal, and we've won. Okay, so they keep the strait closed, and in all the numbers, it's already really hurt us bad. It's hurt the whole world. Third of the fertilizer's not getting through during the growing season. And here we are. And Iran's closed the strait, and so we bomb some more of their stuff, and they don't care. Because we dropped 7.6 million bombs on Vietnam. Did they lose? We dropped 40-something thousand on Iran? So I want to finish up with this. As new developments unfold, we'll cover it. I got a lot of other things to tie together I'm going to get to. And Nick Fuentes is coming up with so much more today. Remember, you're the Paul Revere's. Take the live feeds at Real Alex Jones on X and at AJN Live. Just the initials, at AJN Live is the network feed. You should definitely follow at AJN Live. We'll put it up on screen. And also at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. That's our official spot. And the news site with all the video feeds, the live show feeds, special reports, the articles, the documents, all the stuff we cover on the show is at alexjoneslive.com. Be sure and bookmark that site and share that with everybody because that's how we win the information war, alexjoneslive.com. So let's go ahead and go to just some of Trump's gaffes because he's obviously exhausted and jet-lagged. When he's not tired, he's very smart and very eloquent. Not so much. He can barely keep his eyes open, falling asleep at the World Cup a few days ago. Really worried about Trump because as many problems as he has, we got the Democrats and we got the midterms coming up. It's just a disaster. But we're here tracking it and trying to swing, you know, the pendulum back towards reality and back to America first. Let's go to Trump's gaffes.
Mr. President, will you allow Europe to make Patriot interceptors in Europe? Are you comfortable with licensing that technology?
About what?
No. Patriot interceptors to be made in Europe.
And you're talking with respect to Ukraine. Well, we're going to talk about that. You know, it's a defensive weapon, which I like better than an offensive weapon. It's the best. So I was saying we have an aircraft carrier, which is one of the most beautiful in the world. It's one of the biggest, the Abraham Lincoln. And 2 months ago, we had 100, I told this story yesterday, we had 111 missiles shot by the Islamic Republic of Japan. They were shot at the aircraft carrier over a period of about 1 hour. 111 missiles going to a very expensive ship. And every one of those missiles was knocked down, pretty much most by Patriots, but by other means also, as you know.
Yeah.
Other less expensive means. It's even better when you do that. But out of the 111 missiles, every one of them was shot down. It didn't hit the ship, and, you know, bad things happen, right, when that happens. So think of that. Over a period of 1 hour, these missiles are coming at you, and every one of them shot down. So I think one of the things we're going to be talking about is, as you know, the companies, we have great power over the companies. Those companies that make the Patriot and make all of the great stuff, the Tomahawks, all of the great stuff. We have the best stuff. Many things. The Patriot script, but we have many, many great things. You see that with Venezuela. You see it with Iran. Look, Iran has been wiped out. Iran, their Navy's gone. Their Air Force is gone. Everything's gone. I mean, it, not that we want to do it. We'll do it to save lives. Look. Ukraine's very far away. We have an ocean separating us. What I'm doing is I'm trying to save lives. A lot of lives are being lost. I also think that it's a country with great potential. I think if this kind of brain power can go toward rebuilding the country instead of fighting a war, I think it's going to do. I think that country is going to do fantastically well. And likewise, Russia, you know, look, they're devoting a lot of energy. A lot of energy. Do you have a question for President Putin, please? Do you have a question for President Putin? Not so much. Yeah, what would you like to ask him? Because I'm going to ask him that question.
Last year, you called Russia a paper tiger, referring that they're not doing.
Yeah, that's not Putin. That's the Ukrainian dictator Zelensky, the gay prostitute. Okay.
No, give us a question, not for Zelensky. Give us a question for Putin.
Trump caught himself. Yeah. So give us. He caught himself.
Hard question. He wants peace.
When will he end this war?
That's a good question.
NATO started it, brags they started it. Victoria Nuland's testified basically that George Soros, back when he could still talk, but 8 years ago went on CNN and bragged about it to free Zakaria. All right, I'm going to shift out of Iran now because we got so much more. Nick Fuentes coming up at 1 o'clock. All of this other news. Let me tell you what's coming up. Now, again, I've been telling you this for over 15 years. All high-end cars, and by high-end, I mean about $60,000 and up, whether it's in Europe, here, Australia, the whole Western world, UK, Canada, have tracker systems in them, wireless internet. Basically, it's a smart meter dialing in, sending out all your data. Flock cameras are terrible. We got big news on them. But I'm like telling people, hey, your phone is way more advanced in tracking everything and listening and sending everything back and tracking your location. And your cars are. Now, by law, starting this year, Biden passed it 4 years ago, all cars by law have this whole spectrum of systems in them that are already being put in the cars for a long time, including little bitty cameras that are in the black screen in your dashboard that you can't even see that scan your eyes and you can tell, quote, if you're tired, they claim, and basically watch you, but also can send recordings back, video back to the AI that's then flagged by humans, just like Meta Glasses do, and that's come out. You're having sex with your wife doing it or whatever. It's being flagged live time. It's all sent back, analyzed by AI, and then looked at by humans. The main data center that does it is in Kenya, of all places, it came out. They have tens of thousands of people hired in Kenya that sit there and watch what you're doing on your Meta Glasses. So notice it's unified globally. Well, this just happened. EU mandates driver-facing cameras in new cars starting today. And they're already in most of the cars, but starting today, by law, this is a mandate from the unelected EU dictatorship, all cars that are made and sold will have a camera that watches you and reports back to big tech and the government. Got it? And people are calling. They're shooting video of it all over the U.S. now, where mainly short people, because they're not up in the camera, a lot of short women are reporting it. It'll start flashing, hey, look ahead, look straight. I'm gonna make the car pull over if you don't look straight. And if you don't do what it says, it starts breaking the car, and then it just, this is Chevy, Mercedes, Toyota, it pulls you off the road. And now they're arresting all these innocent people with flock cameras that were actually innocent. Corrupt cops are using it to stalk women. This is a nightmare scenario. So that's all coming up. Incredible. That's at AlexJonesLive.com. EU mandates driver-facing cameras in new cars starting today. EU rejects plea to pause troubled EES biometric systems at airports that keeps arresting and stopping innocent people. And it's all been hacked. Big brother information there. All over the world, they're putting in the parental system, taking away parental rights, saying you don't control your kid's computer or phone. The government does, and so that means adults, too, have to have Internet ID and age verification, which is the Internet ID system. That's going in. New big polls, Zohran Mamdani, more popular than Netanyahu among Jews. If I was Jewish, I wouldn't like Netanyahu, but I sure as hell wouldn't like Mamdani. You know, if I was Jewish, I'd look at it just as a human. Who is more dangerous? I mean, because Israel lobby has so much power in the nuclear weapons and get us into this war, and currently what Netanyahu's done and what he's done in the past. Currently, Netanyahu is overall more dangerous, but the ideology of communism, socialism, and the Red-Green Alliance with Islam growing as a threat and long-term is worse. I mean, I have to say Netanyahu is a bigger threat. But what Mamdani represents is overall a bigger threat. The clear and present immediate danger is Netanyahu, but that's amazing. That shows you how popular Netanyahu is. Unbelievable. We also have the Tyler Robinson case. They've now put out video that reportedly shows Tyler Robinson, like people said, with the rifle in his pants ridiculously obvious going up the stairs to the roof. Again, the official story's got major problems in it, but I'm not saying Tyler Robinson doesn't wear trans flag ties. I'm not saying, you know, Tyler Robinson didn't have 10 of his tranny friends say, when Kirk comes to town in a few days, he'll be dead. Then they all celebrate and said, see, we told you. I mean, this thing is a whodunit, like a Clue game or something. Because the official story doesn't add up, and Patel killed investigation into foreign investment, foreign involvement in his death. The governor and the FBI said, tear up the concrete where Kirk got shot as fast as you can, scoop it away and pour new concrete in. Why would you do that? There wasn't bullet fragments or something down in there. What are you covering up? I mean, you know the drill. I'm going to get to that later in the fourth hour, an excerpt from the trial yesterday, excerpts today. We'll probably spend 30 minutes on that, and more is coming out because the trial is ongoing. So look for that in the fourth hour today. We're also going to be looking at the Canadian government that's passed all these laws. They're totally tyrannical to ban Bible verses being read, spy on everyone, arrest people for pre-crime. Canada considering suing citizens who criticize the government and social media. Got all this video in the UK where you'll have a street preacher literally just reading from the Bible, saying the wages of sin is going to hell, so they get arrested. I mean, it's just wild, the level of tyranny. Speaker Johnson says House GOP is looking at all angles to legislatively kill the anchor baby scam and birth tourism racket after Supreme Court ruling protects citizenship for children of illegals. The plane can land, and the woman's having the baby, and the kid gets citizenship, all the welfare, and she gets to stay. Very dangerous. Founders did not intend that. It's very clear it's unconstitutional, but you saw what the court did. So we hear we're going to pass the SAVE Act to secure voting and have voter ID. We hear all this stuff from Johnson, and now we hear this, and there's several laws they could do that would cut money off from these people because they control the purse strings. That's the system we have, legislative, judicial, and executive. But they've not been doing their job. It's been a terrible Republican Congress, and it's gotten worse since MTG and others got ran out of there. So we'll be looking at all those developments. A lot of criticism of the new head of DHS saying he's not accelerating deportations enough. They have beefed him up some, but nothing compared to what we need to do. But at least it's not Biden totally flooding us. I mean, they shut down internal enforcement because the left was rioting so bad. I don't think that was really the right move to make, but Trump thought it was a loser with the voters, so he killed that. We'll give you updates on all of that as well. The Democrats are clashing over who replaces Plattner. And I've now read the case and what the woman says. And I first just saw that she said, well, he was my boyfriend for a few months and he was drunk once and forced himself on me. And then she makes him breakfast and she's with him another month. And then she never accuses him of that until now. And then the only text message she has is to a friend saying, yeah, he can be a little aggressive in sex. And now that I want to like this guy. I mean, I love seeing, Democrats fail, but the Republican senator he's up against might as well be a Democrat. My point is this Me Too stuff's a fraud. And the Democrats are just, a snake eating its own tail. It's a circular firing squad. But I want to delegitimize the Me Too thing because even the police will tell you over half the rape allegations that they investigate turn out to be fake. And, this guy says he's innocent. Well, like E. Jean Carroll, will this lady sue him? Will she win a civil judgment for $80-something million? First a $5 million, then $80 million judgment because you're not allowed to say you're innocent? Of course you're allowed to say you're innocent. So it's just very, very dangerous. And Nick Fuentes was eloquent on that point. Again, I'm going to play that clip next hour before he joins us talking about that. But she does it for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, say that he assaulted her sexually. And all she's got is one text message to her girlfriend saying, yeah, he can really be pushy and aggressive. Okay. Did you call the police then? I mean, again, folks, none of this makes any sense how this happens. Meanwhile, you've got convicted pedophiles having surrogate women have babies for them, and then they get caught raping and they don't even get in trouble. Meanwhile, I've got all these cases in the U.S. where a white man or woman is murdered by somebody that's not white. They get probation. Same thing in Europe. I mean, it's open season. They're going to let the guy go that killed the Ukrainian immigrant lady, stabbing her in the neck, and nobody helped her. They're going to let him out. So it's wild that, no, it's open season on you because of what color you are. People say, oh, well, you're learning what racism is like. I didn't do jack crap to people in my 52 years. I was brought up a Christian, brought up to be colorblind, brought up that if some people are more disadvantaged than you and, you know, they didn't have a chance, you know, that you want to try to help them. And then because of what color I am, because I'm white, technically black folks really aren't black. They're dark brown. I guess some in the Congo really are black. And a striking look, that black skin with the white teeth and all of it. I think it's kind of interesting. But I'm kind of pink like a gecko, so. And people ask why I'm so red. I got a little bit of Native American in me. My dad tans real well. I got four kids. Two of them don't even tan. They got porcelain skin. It's beautiful. They're white. But me, I get any sun. I am red. I like it. But, man, I've not even gotten that much sun. If I really went out, I turned deep brown red. So I really am kind of a red man, aren't I? That little bit of Native American sure does the trick. But we'll be getting to all of that as well and so much more today. But I wanted to go to this before we hit more news. When I say this could change the world, when I say this is the future, when I say this is truly revolutionary, I mean it. The cashless society, the internet, ID systems, the social credit score will not be able to be put in place if there are transportation companies that don't comply, if there are banks and credit card processing systems that don't go along with it, if there are telephone and telecom and VPN companies that'll protect your identity. And there's a giant market for this, and it's been developing and unfolding. But I've been hearing for years when we would get debanked, we've always wanted a backup. We've had this particular company for 9 years, almost 10 years. And I always wanted backups, and we would get backups, and then the left would attack them, and they'd dump us, even though we had very low chargebacks. Before I got deplatformed, I had the highest credit rating in corporate stuff you can have. We had like a 1.3% credit card rate. Nobody could even get that because we had almost no chargebacks or returns. And we could never get a backup. I always wanted a backup. And we could never get one for more than a few months. And imagine that being 10 times worse. That's what the head of the UN says. It's what BlackRock says. It's what the WHO, the UN, if you don't have your vaccine passport, says. It's what the WTF says. This is their holy grail. It's what the head of the central banks of Europe have said. They want to control your behavior with these systems. That's why whether you're a small business or a large business, you need to understand. I mean, I remember when Bongino said, oh, here's my sponsor. I'm part owner or whatever, like just like 8 years ago. No matter what your merchant account is or, you know, debanking, if you are legal and good, we will take you. They would even return our calls. Everybody else. I mean, it's bull. Or they charge you these huge rates. These are good rates. This is revolutionary. And this is a little secret I'm telling you. These are the folks that I've been using and staying on air for 9 years. I'm not going to have time to air it all. It's a special announcement, but here it is. I am about to reveal something that is one of the most revolutionary ideas I have ever talked about on air. And in the future, it's going to be the most revolutionary idea. The entire future battle that humanity faces against the globalist mark of the beast social credit score system will be fought on this battlefield. I'm talking about debanking. I'm talking about deplatforming. I'm talking about the globalist war, not just on the nation state and the family and the individual, but on small, medium, and even large businesses they don't control. That's the real undeclared war that is intensifying across the planet right now, and America is the front lines. This information is revolutionary, and this is the keys to success and being independent from this predatory system. I'm about to break it down right now. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are? Are you still after him? Why?
Because he's broke. He got found guilty and had to pay like $100 million.
So what? Why were you after him?
We're not anymore.
Just to get the money from him?
Yeah.
Didn't pay anything.
Was
they don't have money.
Case used it? Was that a CIA?
Sure it was.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what? Just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when. Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. That's FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. Or go to FirstAmericanPayments.com. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. They're the only ones that have withstood all the attacks. We always tried to have backups. We would have a couple backups. We lost dozens and dozens of them and dozens of banks, but not First United Payments. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us. We're extending America's 250th mega sale, the biggest in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. That means this Monday the 6th and Tuesday the 7th at midnight central, the biggest sales ever. Buy one, get one free. Up to 60% off the best-selling supplements, Patriot apparel, 50% off, and more. Take action now at theAlexJonesStore.com. Have you noticed all the big universities and corporate media and governments around the world run down America all day? That's because the American system stands against their globalist system. And as the public figures that out, their corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive, communistic, anti-human death cult can't compete with what America stands for. And we stand in the shoes, on the shoulders of our forebears. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, old, young, if you love liberty and freedom, and if you want to be free, and if you want to control your own destiny, you believe in meritocracy, then America is for you. It's under attack because the idea of it stands in the way of the enemy. And America is a dream. Just like a dream to get married, or a dream to start a business, or a dream to write a poem or write a song. And when you do that, those dreams come true. But we have to breathe life into those dreams. They want to kill those dreams. Don't let them break your will. Be proud to be an American and know people around the world still love America. Understand it's the globalists that have hijacked us, and we're in the process of taking our country back from the Chi-Coms and the Israel lobby and the globalists at Hollywood and the left and all of them. And that's why it's so important to support the next leg in the InfoWar at AlexJonesLive.com.
and, of course, at thealexjonesstore.com. With the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements, collectible knives, the best water filtration, and more that will empower and enrich your life while keeping this beacon of truth on the air as we accelerate into the future and as the Great Awakening prepares the final defeats of the globalists and their Great Reset. I salute you all. This is 1776 2.0. We're unstoppable together. God bless you all. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
And it's time for humanity to stand up and say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
In the festering heart of the DC swamp, where loyalty to foreign powers trumps fidelity to the American people, Senator Mitch McConnell's condition remains shrouded in secrecy following his June 14th hospitalization after being found unconscious.
Desiree Townsend here again outside of George Washington University Hospital as we mark week three of the hospitalization of Senator Mitch McConnell following the June 14th medical emergency. As you can see behind me, the Capitol Hill police vehicles, these black vehicles, are still parked outside the hospital here, an indication that he is likely also still here.
Weeks later, no verifiable proof of life has emerged from this 84-year-old fixture of uniparty establishment obstruction. Yet his office clings to vague claims of recovery while he still blocks key legislation like the Save America Act, supported by a huge majority of the country. McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao, who jetted off to Beijing just days after the incident for meetings with senior CCP figures, including Vice President Han Zheng, is a private citizen with no government role. Chao's family shipping empire has long drawn scrutiny for deep Beijing ties, raising explosive Logan Act questions and national security alarms. Why abandon a critically ill husband for CCP powwows unless orders from headquarters demanded it?
So his wife, Elaine Chao, was found in China 3 days after he went into cardiac arrest. So we're trying to figure out where she is. It doesn't look like she has come back to the house. So I was wondering, have you seen her at all?
No, I haven't seen anyone.
The rabbit hole deepens with the eerie 2024 drowning of Chow's billionaire sister Angela in a Tesla that reportedly locked and reversed into a lake. Another accident. Amid whispers of family leverage and silencing, McConnell, long derided as China Mitch, props up a Senate machine terrified of a pre-August 3rd vacancy, which would trigger a special election that could empower outsiders like Thomas Massey to seize the reins. The plan is blatant and equally seditious.
The likelihood that Senator McConnell is on life support in some way, shape, or form is actually supported by multiple studies, which puts the 30-day survival rate of an 80-year-old after an out-of-hospital cardiac arrest, now mind you, was found at his home, at less than 5%. Now, you need to understand who
the reports are.
They
he's brain dead.
Are. See, Senator Mitch McConnell has
a lot of
enemies.
Brain
he's
dead,
not well liked by
brain
people
dead in
on
that
both sides of the aisle. In fact, the lack of disclosed health information and him potentially still being in the hospital on life support has actually united this country in shared outrage. Republicans want him removed because he kept blocking the SAVE Act. Democrats don't like him because he previously stacked the Supreme Court. And it doesn't appear as if he had much support from President Trump either, based on past Truth Social remarks. So with that in mind, they really is just one person, his wife. And largely, this is also based on the law. It's very likely he had either an advance directive or a living will. Even without either one of these legal documents, nearly all of end-of-life decisions typically fall on the spouse in almost every state. So when everyone says they, there is really only one person in my mind, and that is Elaine Chao.
Drag the turtle shell past the deadline, and the Uniparty preserves its safe seat while unelected staffers wield Mitch's vote, as we have already seen with other debilitated absent members of Congress. J.D. Vance, as Senate President, and the State Department owe the public immediate transparency. Is McConnell alive, vegetative, or already gone? D.C.'s rot is so pungent, even Honolulu catches a whiff. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
All right, folks, we'll be right back on the other side with the full transmission. Nick Fuentes. Introducing the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter Showerhead. You're not just drinking tap water, you're showering in it, breathing the steam, and soaking your skin in it every day. When you take a hot shower, that hot water opens your pores and creates steam. That means chlorine, lead, and many other contaminants in your tap water can hit your skin, your hair, and the air you breathe inside your own bathroom. And unlike most shower filters on the market, this has independent third-party testing. SGS testing showed a 95%+ lead reduction using the system, over 99% chlorine removal, and many other chemicals. The system installs directly onto a standard shower head. It literally just takes seconds. No plumber, no tools, no modification to your plumbing. Regularly $139. Today you can get it for just $97.99. That's 30% off. VIP members of GalaxyShore.com get it for as low as $69.99. That is beyond a steal. Secure yours now while supplies last at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Since the weekend, it's been one of the top, if not the top, stories on X, on Instagram, on Facebook, on Fox News. And that's Sneeko, who's this popular influencer who constantly says he's left-wing, right-wing, joined Islam 3 years ago, and you know, declared everybody will be under Islam soon in America. We're going to take you over. There is a second great crusade coming, and the crusades was a response to 700 years of Islamic invasion. And I've got an MIT professor, I never got the clip yesterday, I'm going to play it coming up today in this segment. And he's explained to Muslims, yeah, you know, Spain won't let us have mosques because they're evil, but America is letting Islam take over, so is the UK. Well, that's because you took over 2 million white slaves out and sold them on record. That's because you were there 700 years and killed millions of people. That's because you took over much of Europe as well. And then they teach in the history books that we launched the Crusades for no reason in the 1300s. No, Islam, by the time of Muhammad's death, had already taken over much of what Saudi Arabia. And by 100 years later, had taken over the entire Middle East and much of Africa. And by the time of the Crusades, 400, 500, 600, 700 years later, they pushed all the way into Poland, pushed all the way into Russia, overrun Serbia repeatedly, taken over Sicily, almost took the Vatican 3 times, huge wars, invaded Rome. But the public is so historically ignorant about this and historically illiterate that then they have all these Ridley Scott movies about the Muslims being victims, the Crusades being evil, and you think people in England, thousands of miles away, wanted to get on horses and ships and come over and fight the Muslims? It was because they kept attacking and enslaving everybody. And took a bunch of countries helping Spain, who only kept about 10% of the north, Hundreds of years. It took them 300 years to retake Spain. Muslims are lucky they're even allowed in Spain or in Poland or in Serbia. And I don't want to attack Muslims in general. I know some have reformed and want to be part of the West, but the real Muslims, the Orthodox Muslims, they're not the radical Muslims. They are the Orthodox Muslims want to take over. Then you got Israel wants a wider Israel, greater Israel, and wants us to back that. We need to stay out of it. We need to cordon it off. We need to contain it. Like a septic tank. You don't bring your septic tank into your living room. It's out in the yard. It's contained in a tank. And we don't need Israel running us. We don't need the Muslims running us. We don't need the Chi-Coms running us or BlackRock or the UN or any of this. No more. We run our country and other nations do. And then we work with other nations unilaterally, bilaterally. We don't have a global government. We don't have a global UN with a NATO army. We don't have an unelected EU commission that says, oh, all the cars have to have cameras that watch you now inside of them. That's the law here now, too. Think how far we've gone. 14, 15, 16 states, they keep adding new ones, have passed laws down to age 12 and 13 that the kids are in control of their own medical decisions, but the state really makes the decisions, taking parental rights. They now had the Federal Court of Appeals say forced injections should start nationwide, starting with the Amish. I mean, we're not out of the woods here, folks. These people are coming down on us. This is Big Brother. How does anybody argue? Well, is Alex Jones right? Is he exaggerating about Big Brother? Is he, you know, he lies about stuff. But these people, I saw CBS National News, NBC National News, wasn't even looking for it. Just all this weekend, this week, national TV attacking me. Jones is crazy. He's a liar. Don't listen to him. And they never say what I say that's a lie. I'm here showing you what they're doing. So I've been inviting Sneeko on the show. And he called up, he saw the producers during the break, and he said, well, Alex is being mean to me, but I didn't talk to him. I got this second hand from the producer, but she's very accurate. He said, Alex has been really mean to me, but I'll be polite and nice. I want to have a nice discussion with him. And I told him to tell her, yeah, sure, have him on. And he goes, well, you need to come on my show. And I said, when? She calls him back, 7 o'clock tonight. Well, I don't have a lot of medical issues, but I've been lifting weights a lot and everything, and I got a tendon issue on my left arm with my shoulder, and I got this kinesiologist that comes over every few months. It's very painful. I can also go to their office, but that's during the day. They do house calls. We pay them more. And this lady will absolutely get my tendons back in line, and I can lift weights again and feel great. Don't need any surgery. She's going to stick her fingers in there, and it's literally, it makes me almost cry. It's excruciating. It takes about an hour. She's going to work on both shoulders. This one goes out, too. It's on the verge of it. And I'm sorry. I'm not going to cancel my kinesiology hour-long thing of torture for the other torture of going on with Sneeko. But I'm happy to do it. He said he can't come on my show today, but I can go on his show at 3. Well, I have other stuff to do at 3 and other commitments, but I might cancel those for Sneeko. We will be talking about Sneeko coming up because he's indicative of an American with an American accent who's going to Mecca and putting, you know, wearing hijabs like he's a woman with the Palestinian, you know, colors and just hopping around. And most people haven't seen the video of him in New York. They saw the one where he said, we're taking over. Islam is going to dominate you if it's Allah's will. Every house will be under our control. He also, in the same event, but nobody really saw that, is slitting throats and saying, we're going to get you and all this stuff. And this is the group that's been doing that more than anybody. This is the religion that makes you submit to it. The Jews will barely even let you join their group. You got to flip over backwards and stand on one leg and go through 14 flying fiery hoops. Christians all fight with each other with their 10,000 denominations and they're trying to get you to join. There's been some cases where Christians got out of control and persecuted people, but that's not Christ-like. But that's not been going on for hundreds of years. It's Islam where it's officially we're taking over. That's God's will. So I followed this report last night. And I'm not going to play the whole thing here, but this goes right at Sneeko. These are the points I'm going to bring up to him when he's on air. He also says Elon Musk is dumb. You know, so what? You got a rocket ship company, a spaceship company. Oh, you're dumb. And you're a migrant. You know, what are you doing saying deport me? He contributes to this country. He's not saying he wants to overthrow it and put in a monotheistic religion that could execute your wives and daughters and pedophilia and marry nine-year-olds and you got all the stuff going on with Muhammad. You know, his secret power in the Quran and in the Hadiths is 30 black men from Africa with giant penises rode him through the night and gave them the magic seed. I'm not kidding, folks. And they believe that that semen made him have the strength of 30 men. He's a superhero. Spider-Man gets bit by a spider and becomes super. You know, Deadpool gets radiated and becomes super. Superman, our son, makes you more powerful. You know, usually something traumatic makes you more powerful. Well, in this case, it's gallons of African semen. That's quite the profit, I have to tell you. I guess he'd be really popular in Hollywood right now. And I guess that's something Sneeko is interested in, reportedly. So we want to talk to you about the Sneeko. We look forward to talking to you. But let's go ahead and go to my report on Sneeko.
He's doing the citizen vigilante thing. Alex Jones is indirectly calling for people to kill me. He knows it. You know it. His audience knows it.
Over the weekend, influencer Sneeko enraged America and what's left of the Western world when in New York City, marching with a bunch of Muslims, he declared that we will all be under Islamic rule. Every home will be Islamic. Every Christian church will be shut down. We will be their slaves. And then he came out and said that my opposition to him was a death threat when it was no such thing. We're about to break it all down right now and his adventures trying to be like Muhammad in the Al-Zoot.
Allahu Akbar!
Well, here you see Sneeko a few days ago showing Islamic jihadists massing and preparing for their military actions against the West. And, of course, he got a lot of universal hatred for coming out and saying, soon you'll be forced under Islam in every home to serve Allah, and you will be basically slaves of the Islamic cult, which the Quran says it's a battle manual to take over the world. Now, really, he's just a rich kid from Connecticut, but he's decided Islam's taking over, so he's joined Islam, and now he's really angry at myself and Elon Musk for coming out and saying we should deport him to one of the 50-plus Islamic countries around the world if living under Islam is so incredibly wonderful. And, of course, this year Andrew Tate revealed that he and Ye won't associate with Sneeko because he, according to them, tried to have sex with them.
And he asked me what I think about cucking and if it's normal to explore your sexuality and if I've ever tried it. And I said, look, I'm older than you, bro, and I've never tried that. I don't think that's normal. And then he started saying, isn't it normal just to try new things? Don't you think it's normal to be curious? How do you know if you're really gay or not unless you've tried being gay? And then I realized he was coming on to me.
But, like, when I was, like, 14, yeah. I thought I was gay. I watched gay porn.
Nigga, you gay.
And when I realized he was coming on to me, I thought the best thing I can do is just not talk to him anymore.
So I guess if you study what the Prophet Muhammad did, he reportedly got his secret magical powers from 30 virile black men filling his rectum with gallons of semen. I'm not kidding. Look it up. So in a way, not only is Islam all about pedophilia and marrying nine-year-olds, it's also about taking gallons of semen in your rectum. In a way, I've got to say he's a true Muslim.
Allahu Akbar! Oh, no! This is the Islamic Republic of New Yorkistan. Islam will be in every household. Inshallah, the whole world is Muslim. Welcome to Mamdani's New York. You see this city? You see how it looks? Inshallah, your city looks just like this, too.
But we're going to move on from Sneeko's quest to be like Muhammad when he wrestled with the 30 black men and they rode him, according to their top Islamic text, to one of the most classic statements we get to hear all the time, that Europeans never invented anything. Europeans have no culture. Well, he says that so what if Elon Musk has a spaceship company, only the most successful ever, the most innovative ever, launching more satellites and ships in the last 10 years than all of their space programs, public and private combined. He says, big deal. You've got the most successful spaceship company. That doesn't mean you're smart. It's easy to become the richest man in the world. Listen to this young punk.
You retards think Elon Musk is smart.
He's building a rocket ship, dude. He's tweeting all day about Muslims. He's trying to incite a race war. An African migrant into the U.S. with an entire Indian team trying to incite a race war in Europe. No, he built the rocket ship. Look how I read him like a book.
I think Elon Musk is going to talk about it. Oh, I think Elon Musk is going to mention it.
I read him like a book.
Genius. Oh, my God. He smoked weed with Joe Rogan. Oh, there's a spaceship in his profile picture. He's a warrior for free speech, calling for an American citizen to be deported for speech.
You stupid idiots. Read him like a book. There are scripts. It's so easy to figure them out. Their only ideology is hating Islam. One day before he calls to deport me, I said here on Discord, he is going to chip out about that tweet. Of course he would. Because he's not smart. And you're an idiot for believing he's smart. Because he speaks like a robot.
He knows a threat when he sees one young.
The guy doesn't know anything.
Sith.
An average computer software engineer talks at a space with him and makes him look like an idiot. Guy's owned by Mossad and he's a trillionaire. Richest guy in the world is a slave. And you're going to die over money? Money is what buys you? Richest guy in the world doesn't even have his own voice. He's a little puppet for Epstein. And you're going to die over money? It's nothing. Wallahi, it's nothing. None of that is going to help you in the grave. None. Trillionaire. Played him like a freaking fiddle. The richest man in the world is afraid of me. Is afraid of me.
No. I want to address the so-called death threat.
He's doing the citizen vigilante thing. Alex Jones indirectly calling for people to kill me.
I said, none of this has been as a threat. I want no harm against Sneeko. I said, the analogy is we're told it's Islamophobia. Well, most of us have an innate fear of stepping on the edge of a 50-story building. That fear is ingrained in us because if you fall off, you die. Or if you see a rattlesnake or you see a black widow spider, you get scared and you want to step on it because you understand it's a threat. I don't want to physically step on Sneeko. I want to get my foot dirty. I just simply am stepping on the ideological lies of him when he says he's going to plant his flag on us and enslave us. But I love him playing the victim and, you know, sitting there like, oh, all these people are just coming after poor little him and mean old Elon Musk, who, you know, he's a foreigner, you know, he's a U.S. citizen. What does he contribute? He just has millions of employees. I mean, the truth is, it's very healthy that the world sees through Sneeko and realizes what a disgusting fraud he is.
And I picked up a big limestone, honeycomb limestone rock, and I said, watch this. And I threw it about 15 feet perfectly and splat on the head. And my daughters went, Daddy!
He's doing the citizen vigilante thing. Alex Jones indirectly calling for people to kill me. He knows it. You know it. His audience knows it. They feel threatened by the truth. And against American values, they don't want discourse. They don't want democracy. They don't want free speech.
You think normally I can throw away 10 feet perfectly, splat the head? You think normally I can throw a rock perfectly and splat the head? No. It's the defender in me. And you have instincts, too, that you can turn on and you can hone. And Sneeko, I'm not calling for splatting his head, but culturally I'm calling for putting him nonviolently in an airplane like a cannon, a clown in a cannon.
Take me!
I saw this from Sneeko. It's very sad. It's very sad. He seems to be joining up with Hassan Piker and Zohran Mamdani. And it's like I said last week, just because I don't like Israel doesn't mean I'm a communist. Okay? That. I saw last week all these DSA candidates won their election, and each one is more anti-American and radical than the last. And that's not like a GOP talking point. They're talking about abolishing ICE. You know what that means? Amnesty for 12 million illegals brought in under Biden. So no, just because I don't support genocide and a war with Iran, just because I don't want AIPAC to buy all the elections doesn't mean I'm a communist that wants to abolish the police and the prisons and ICE and legalize weed and abortion and free all the George Floyds from prison and have them wreak havoc on our free buses and free subways and free grocery stores and take all the money from white people and give it to them. I'm not a communist either. And you know what? The DSA is growing in strength. They're going to have like a dozen members of Congress next year. They're making inroads in city councils and state legislatures. The DSA is the enemy, okay? And contrary to what these anti-Israel people say, they say left and right is an artificial divide. That is not true. That is something promoted by the left when they want you to go along with their agenda.
Nick Fuentes, who is joining me at 1 p.m. tomorrow on my Wednesday show at AlexJonesLive.com.
That's today.
Has been exposing Sneeko for a long time because he got to know him. And he's absolutely right. This Islamic alliance with the Democrat Socialist of America, the Communist Party, is pure poison. The Red-Green Alliance is one of the greatest threats facing America. Now, in closing, I want to show a clip of Dan Bilzerian, who I had on the show recently. And I'm not an enemy of Dan, but I got to say, what a cheap shot. I'm not going to play the whole long video because there's dozens of examples. But I'll just play the very first of it and just one example of it not being true. And as soon as I saw the clip, before I even saw the proof it was a lie, or maybe Bilzerian's hiding under a rock, I knew it wasn't true because I've seen Nick on these very shows he mentions bringing up Israel and directly talking about Jewish supremacy. So it's not true. So here's Bilzerian saying, have you noticed now that Nick finally got big and finally got on CNN and finally got on this channel and finally got on Piers Morgan that he won't talk about Israel? That's basically all he talks about is Israel. If I've got any criticism of Nick Fuentes and other people, is it's Israel, 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 Israel. When we have Islam, we have the Chi-Coms, we have BlackRock and the globalists, which you can say is Israel too. But the point is, Nick's now being criticized because he is warning about Islam, which I have been saying is a great thing. So here's just a little bit of disproving what Bilzerian says. But none of you even need me to tell you that. You've seen Nick on all these shows tearing Israel a new a-hole. But here's Bilzerian. This is the type of cheap shots and, quite frankly, I think the type of jealousy we're witnessing.
3 months ago, he went on every major podcast in America and talked about the left is coming to kill us, you know, the blacks, this, that, you know, just all the typical Fox News shit, not the crux of the issue, which is Jewish supremacy. He just like didn't speak about that on any of these podcasts. Look, I get it. If you don't want to talk about that on every podcast, it might get boring. I get that. But to not mention it on any of the mainstream stuff, like he's been waiting his whole life to get on Piers, to get on Tucker, to get on
no, our shows are bigger than theirs.
It's
bigger than
doesn't
Piers.
Say a word about the most important issue.
I mean, you have to talk about, you know, there's a concept of Jewish peoplehood. It's the sense that they are part of a common nationality, a common tribe, a common people. And so where they reside in Israel, the United States or Europe or elsewhere, they see each other above or maybe on a different level alongside their nationality, their state, wherever they reside. If they're in Germany, France, the United States, they see themselves as part of a transnational nation, of an international nation. The Jews in America, the Jews in Israel, they identify as Israeli or American, but they also have something in common. They identify as part of a common nation, which I would say there's a world Jewish population. It's world Jewry. And world Jewry has representatives. There is such a thing as the World Jewish Congress, where they actually elect, it's democratic, all the local Jewish organizations elect representatives to represent proportionally the Jewish population in their area at the World Jewish Congress. And it's sort of like Davos. It's like the World Economic Forum, but it's exclusively for members of the Jewish nation that exists across the world.
But we had to close out with one of the other videos shot in their big Islamic We're Taking Over celebration last weekend in New York with Sneeko doing the classic Islamic We're Taking Over and We're Going to Cut Your Head Off. So listen, Sneeko, why don't you go join ISIS? Why don't you go join Al-Qaeda? The U.S. government under Biden put the head of Al-Qaeda in charge in Syria. I mean, why don't you go join the Iranian military right now? Hell, I've told Netanyahu his son shouldn't be glamping around and sugar tanking around and candy assing around in Miami. He should go join the IDF. But remember, the IDF said they're not going to do ground troops into Iran. They want us to. Yeah, they're going to fight Iran until the last dead Iranian and the last dead American. The truth is, Orthodox expansionist Islam for hundreds of years has been funded by British intelligence, then the CIA starting in the 50s.
All right, the full report is at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live and Extra All Shows.
We got him saying he's going to slit our throats on there. We'll be back with all the other news and Nick Fuentes. Stay with us.
And a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Colin saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away, not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. GetMasterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does. And people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, GetMasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to GetMasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. GetMasterpiece.com.
It's Alex Jones.
catch up with the Islamic invasion. And that's not hype. That is the Quran that I've read twice, and then I've read excerpts of hundreds of times since, here on air many times. The whole damn thing is a story of conquest and how to take over the world. And how to lie and cheat and steal and enslave. Now you can put everybody in sex slavery if they're your enemy. They can deal us drugs, everything else. Does that mean all Muslims are like that? No. Does that mean I want to exterminate them all? No. But I am not converting to their religion. I'm not putting up with it. And then upwards of 90% of military age males coming in, 90-plus percent never get jobs and are on welfare, standing around in their tracksuits and their nightgowns. And now you got Zohran Mamdani, more popular than Netanyahu among Jews in major poll. This is insane. But it is a false equivalency to say, well, if you're against Islam, you've got to be for Israel. No, I don't. And I'll be getting more into that with Nick Fuentes. But I got a bunch of news I want to hit. Before we do that, this is finally it. And the only reason it's extended to 3 p.m. today is because I was supposed to cut ads for the new sales last night, and I got busy and I didn't do it. And they're waiting for me to do that. I'm doing it after the show today. So they extended the buy one, get one free until 3 p.m. today, because then they got to change it to the new sale. And they can't do that until they have the new sale. That's why I've been pushing it out. I've been so busy. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of breaking news, a lot of behind-the-scenes legal stuff, a lot of really positive stuff. Thanks for the prayers out there. Can't get to it yet and break it soon, but it's going to be amazing. So the buy one free ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the Shilajit, they're all incredible. That's till 3 p.m. today. So you got just a couple hours, 2.5 hours, 2 hours, 25 minutes. And it will end then because I did get one basic ad cut this morning, so they're going to change it then. And it's a lot going on around here. And then you also have up to 60% off all the other supplements. You have, for VIPs, lower prices than even the sales. So just a lot of big deals there. 50% off on Patriot Apparel, wide selection of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, you name it. It's actually an obnoxious number because there's so many to go through, but it's amazing. From really good designs to some of the best. And it funds this operation. I want to hire more talk show hosts, more crew, more reporters, be bigger than InfoWars ever was at the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. And the coordinates to do that is the alexjonesstore.com, right there on screen. So here's the other big announcement. The AquaPure Ultimate Water Shower Head is a beautiful, high-quality chrome head that screws on to all the major fixtures, takes seconds to do. You just unscrew your old head that doesn't have a filter in it, screw this on. It's fast flow. It's got a wide head. It's got this seal of straight, healthy frog approval on it with a little Save the Frogs logo, little tree frog, and it cuts, depending on the different hundreds type of chemicals in the studies and tests with third parties we have that we publish and I've shown on air, the lowest stuff it gets out is 95%+, and then most of it's 99%+, because like our gravity fed filters cut everything out, but that's slow flow, you know, just 3 gallons an hour or so. This is fast flow, so you're getting, you know, gallons of water coming through it, you know, every 10 seconds or whatever. So you get 180 showers with this unit. The replacement filters, you just screw off the front and pop it inside the housing. The housing basically lasts forever, are $30. You get 180 long showers with it. And that's when it's operating at full capacity. I already used similar units before we came out with this that are high rated, cost a little bit more than these, but aren't even as good. And about every 6 months, I just replace them. Because it's still reducing a lot of it. It's just not 99% after the 160 showers. So I would every 6 months plop a replacement filter in it. And it's amazing. At $130, it's a good deal. For everybody right now, introductory, it's $99. For VIPs, it is $69. You are not going to beat that deal. This is highest rated, highest quality filter, the best you're going to get, and it funds this operation. And you absorb these hundreds of toxins and chemicals and chlorine and atrazine and all of it, lead, mercury through your skin, your pores, the largest organ in your body, and by the steam into your sinuses, into your lungs. So you owe it to your children particularly to not let them bathe in gender-bending systems. You can also, Ace Hardware or wherever, buy an adapter for whatever size faucet you have. And even smaller hardware stores usually have them where they can order them for you. They're like $5. You just put that on your bath faucet and it, and then it just has, you know, the standard shower size on it, and you screw the shower head on, and then now you've got clean water, good water to bathe in. So it also works, but there's one more little step. We'd sell the adapters, but there's so many different sizes of bath faucets that just we can't carry 100 different types. So that's something you need to know what yours is. You know, take a picture of it, know the number of it, and go into Ace or wherever you go. I say Ace because those are franchises usually, and Little Guy, or, you know, Home Depot, wherever you go, Lowe's, whatever. And it can also be for your bath, but it's a really important move to do. This is a great deal. We're so excited about it. And I knew they'd be a hit. They got 5,000 in, and they already sold out of 2,000 yesterday. So this is going to be a great funder because people know a good deal when they see it. They know it's important. The problem is, can Bigley keep enough of these in? They have 5,000 right now. It'll be 5 weeks till more come in. So these will sell out. Take advantage of it now at thealexjonesstore.com. And finally, there are 5,000 of these coins minted in Missouri. They're in the warehouse in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Bigley, our big sponsor, the folks that actually launched the network and fund it. Because remember, I'm under Global's attack. I can't own a network. I can't own, that's fine. I don't want to be the owner. I'm the news director. So our big sponsor stepped in with the Alex Jones Network and has paid for the stuff, the equipment, owns it, everything. Done a great job. They're bringing in some partners, and people are about to finish up the new big studio and a bunch of big moves there. So this is very, very exciting. But you are literally our partners in this. So we have 5,000 of the sesquicentennial United States of America with the beautiful Jerusalem cross on one side with 1776 across, and on the other side, America's 250, a flying bald eagle with an American flag, pure 0.999 troy ounce silver, fine silver. And there are now about 2,300 of these coins left for sale. So I would imagine in a week or so, they'll be gone. And that's it. This is our ninth fundraiser coin. They cost us $69 to make, buy the silver and mint it. And so we're making 40-something bucks on these. It is a fundraiser coin. When we're selling gold and silver bullion at our gold and silver sponsor, Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, you're buying it at wholesale. That means if it's wholesale, silver's, you know, 70 bucks, wherever it is right now, you get it for that. That's an investment. This has a markup as a fundraiser investing in the broadcast and what we're doing. But I will tell you, the coins we've done in the past all sell because they're limited edition for more on eBay than what people buy them for. I've seen the coins that back at the time when silver was lower that were selling for like 100 bucks sell for $400. So again, I'm not saying that's the reason to do it. It's to fund us. But it's like NPR gets billions of dollars of taxpayer money, like PBS, that's been cut off now, that's good. But they also do continual begging, and they'll sell a ball cap, cost them, you know, $8 for $100. They'll sell a plastic bag, that, you know, duffel bag that cost them $10 for $200. People know they're not getting their value there. It's a memento that they supported communism and brainwashing and cutting little boys' penises off and destroying America, and the left gives. Well, here, it's not like you're getting some $10 coin and we're making 100 bucks. This is a $67 coin that we sell for $117.76, 1776. So, thealexjonesstore.com. And listen, if you're a VIP, the shower filter isn't 99, it's 69. If you're a VIP, the coin is not 99, it's 69. So, I mean, it's the same. If you're buying anything, you should be a VIP. Everything has a sale on top of it. Everything when you're a VIP. And it's no commitment. It's $30 a month. You get $40 to spend instantly. When you're, as soon as it charges you 30, bloop, 40 shows up in your account, in your profile. You get special deals, special offers, and sales on top of everything. It is such a great VIP program. So anybody that's doing anything at thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP. I want to thank all of you that are VIPs. Because that way you form a special relationship with you. You get all these special deals, special offers. You can win the super vehicles every month. I mean, it's just really cool. TheAlexJonesStore.com, funding the Second American Revolution worldwide. Can't do it without you. All right. Back to finishing up with Islam. There are 2 billion Muslims. They're having, on average, 6 children. And whether you're in Japan or China or Russia or France or the Netherlands or the UK or the US or Canada, if you average them all together, some vary. Japan's the worst at 1.3. Italy's 1.3. Germany's like 1.6. The UK's 1.6. You can look all this up. I'm going from memory. It changes each year. But guys, look up replacement rates for Western nations. Just it'll have a whole spreadsheet. Replacement rates for Western nations, 2025, 2026. That'll be the That'll be the numbers are usually a year old. But the U.S. is 1.8. We're one of the better Western countries, but you need at least 1.8. For every two people living, you need at least 2.1 to 2.2, depending on the study, to even replace the population. You collapse if you don't have it. So Islam brags. We get on your welfare. We suck off you. We don't get jobs. We have a bunch of kids. We get into the prisons, recruit people. We take over. And we're allowed to commit any crime we want under Islam as long as we're doing it to an infidel. We just can't do it to a Muslim. And so this is cancer. Muslims have the highest average birth rates of any major religion with a total fertility, TFR, of roughly 3.1 children per woman. Yeah, some countries it's 5 to 6. In contrast, Christians average 2.7, Hindus 2.3, and the unaffiliated 1.6. This higher rate combined with a significantly younger global median age makes Islam the world's fastest growing religion. Yeah, I told you the global average in the West is 1.6. So there you go. My memory was accurate. Let's look at Japan's replacement rate is 1.3, correct? Look up. What is Japan's childbirth replacement rate? It's 1.3. The only other country worse is Italy at 1.3. I just like to always prove that I'm not just, people think this guy just makes this up. Nobody knows all that stuff. Yeah, I do. So, and you can know too. That's the whole point of this. So in every level, it's got to be contained. And I'm not saying we play cowboys and Indians with them and wipe them all out. I'm just telling you right now that they're saying they're going to wipe us out or assimilate us. And that's how this works. So look at this. Zoran Mondami, more popular than Netanyahu among Jews, poll finds. This is a AP article. New York City Mayor Zoran Mondami is far more popular among Jewish Americans than Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, according to a new survey. The Associated Press and NORC Center for Public Affairs Research released a poll this week showing Netanyahu with a negative 27-point net approval among Jewish Americans, while Mondami scored a positive 5-point net approval. You hear that? Positive. Meaning 55, above 50. Netanyahu is at 27, Mondami at 55. And we're told that all Jews are super geniuses. Super at getting themselves killed. Super at being overrun and enslaved. Super at voting for Democrats that hate their guts. But, I mean, just think about that. And by the way, you know Netanyahu in a global Gallup poll, they also had a Pew one. Israel has about a 15% approval rating and Netanyahu has about a 10 or 11, depending on the international poll. Netanyahu is the most unpopular person on planet Earth, more than Kim Jong-un. Okay? By the way, Vladimir Putin has a global positive rate. Trump had a positive rate. Now he's seen as negatively. But, I mean, that just shows how screwed up people are and how brainwashed. That they think this horrible, evil communist Islamicist, who knows full well he's not giving anybody a free lunch, is not just with Jews, it's other people, it's more popular. Because they know to virtue signal, oh, I love him, he's brown, oh, yeah, he can do no wrong, oh, sure. Yeah, a majority of Israelis do not want Netanyahu to seek re-election. It's just like Trudeau kept holding power less than 20%. Same thing with Keir Starmer. They parliamentary play games in coalitions to stay in power. So when we're all like, Israel's all evil and blow them up from the mountains to the sea, and the majority of them don't even like what's going on. You know, Fox will do a poll and say, should Israel respond to Iran? You know, 80%, yeah. But does that mean, you know, what we're doing? No. So I refuse to play the game that the Israel firsters want, where I put on a brown shirt and, you know, I slip them a banana pill, say Jews did it, and obsess on them. Because, see, here's the deal. I've been on here 32 years. When you're talking about the private Federal Reserve and the New World Order and the globalist, I immediately, on talk radio and all of it, would get calls and letters and people would show up at my events. It was a minority of people, but they'd be like, oh, usually, you know, good old boys, but like kind of fake good old boys. And they almost always were like, you know, 60 years old and lived with their mother or whatever. And it was just kind of that type. And, you know, Hitler was really good, Alex. And, you know, you're not Jewish, are you? You know, are you working for the Jews? And they'd be like, I notice H-E-B says Hebe. I didn't know what Hebe meant, Hebrew. I didn't know that was a slang. And I'm like, no, that means Howard E. Butts. He's not Jewish. All right, covering up for the Jews. I remember this conversation at some event. I looked at the guy and I said, no, my grandmother grew up with Howard E. Butts. She almost married him. He's Anglo-Saxon. But, I mean, they just don't listen. It's like, oh, my God, look at those clouds. Looks like a Jew. It's going to get me. And I constantly, you know, he secretly, I'm in Israel, and I'm being paid by Israel. And I'm like, no, I've had the Israel lobby attack me a lot. They attack American populists and real conservatives because they're part of the system. You know, the ADL, all of it. I mean, I'd be like, what are you talking about? The WikiLeaks come out. I'm being attacked by Stratford and the ADL and the Democrats and Republicans and the Rockefeller Foundation and the Epstein files more come out and he's attacking me and, you know, and all these government documents come out with Obama targeting me and saying I'm this evil patriot leader. And they all just go, no, you're a Fed. And then it turns out that almost all the main white supremacist groups are paid millions a year by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And you know, the ADL too. I mean, the fact is, I am dyed-in-the-wool American patriot, certified up one side and down the other, proven and documented. And I'm trying to create a big tent, whether it's the Chi-Coms or the Israel lobby or BlackRock or any of the groups or organizations trying to run us, the EU, you name it, that we can just organize as Americans, black, white, old, young, Jewish, Christian, whatever, and be against it. And if Muslims want to create some reform movement and say, you know, we reject expansionists and forcing people to convert to Islam and, you know, all the rest of it, I would say, oh, okay, you say you're going to assimilate, even though you can lie to the Quran. I'll trust but verify. I don't want to just hate you. But the most the Muslims tell you they're taking over. And that's why they've got that arrogance. Oh, you're driving without a driver's license and we're driving the wrong lane. You're under arrest. I'm Muslim. You can't arrest me. And the Jewish lady's saying the same thing the other day I played yesterday. I mean, it's this entitlement of being in one of these groups. Well, I'm an American, and I'm a Christian, and I'm a patriot, and I'm white. And if you want to demonize me because of what color I am and my background, I'm not going to bow to you, and I'm not going to grovel to you, and I'm not going to do your virtue signaling, because I know bowing to a bully only makes it worse. It's that simple. So we have to stop caring about political correctness. And so as mean and as hurtful as some of the things that get said by the groups speaking out against racist blacks attacking whites or people speaking about Israel, they've all gone to the extreme bashing whites and Christians and saying we're inherently the devil and horrible, and The View is just saying white men are inherently evil. I got that clip. We'll play that with Fuentes. I don't know if I gave you that clip. I think I did. I saw it. But oh, yeah, it's on the list. How scary it is to be around white men. It's a bunch of rich women up there talking about how scary white men are. Statistically, white men, there's like one case of rape a year documented of a white person and a black woman. I mean, it almost doesn't exist, but it's like record level. You're raping us. You're lynching us. You're, look at Jussie Smollett. And yeah, I mean, here it is right here. And it's just, it's insane. And you have to say to that, I don't bow to your political correctness. I don't bow to you when you say you're going to call me names if I don't say you're good and I'm bad. Screw you. You're using race. You're using tribalism for control. And Brandon Straka talked about these guys. We'll get to that. You know what? Let's go to Brandon Straka. Straka. I always call him Straka. Brandon Straka. I've known him forever. Brandon Straka talking about these guys. It's hilarious. And then I've got news on getting around the Supreme Court saying illegal aliens' kids can become citizens. They got some legislation that'll shoot that down. I want to get to that. And then Nick Fuentes is about to join us. Be sure to share the live feeds at Real Alex Jones on X and at AJN Live on X. Be sure and follow us there at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. And it's so easy. Just share the URL, alexjoneslive.com. And all the Rumble feeds and the X feeds and our own feeds and audio feeds and the videos and articles, they're all there at alexjoneslive.com. But here is Brandon Strzok playing a clip from The View. It's hilarious if it wasn't so sad.
Sonny Hostin and the other viewtards had a lot to say today about how terrifying it is to have to coexist with white people.
It's the best nation. The best nation for who?
Yeah, when you say it's the best nation.
When you say it's the best nation, the best nation for who? Because if we are celebrating 250 years, what are we exactly celebrating is what I want to know. And so I'm really glad that picture was taken, because that picture is how we feel walking into many rooms down the street. That picture is how we feel, and nobody will believe us. So look at that picture and understand how it feels.
Believe what? That you have to live in fear of sharing public transportation with white people who leave you alone, who mind their own business and ride the train quietly beside you? And to you, what has America done for you in 250 years? Well, it doesn't look like you've gone hungry. Incidents of white people harassing people of color are so rare and non-existent that you guys have to make these stories up. You guys have to take pictures of black people sitting peacefully on a train next to other white people who are leaving them alone and then react to the terror you feel based off of what might have happened or what your imagination is telling you when you look at the picture. Meanwhile, every day there are dozens and dozens of videos that I see on this very platform of white people being physically beaten up by non-white people who clearly hate them just because they're white. And yet those white people are still proud and grateful to live in America. And so to all of these viewtards, I say be grateful. Be grateful that you live in a country where you can be paid millions of dollars to sit there to out racism. And your little friend over here, be grateful that you live in a country where you never run out of food.
Yeah, she probably weighs 400 pounds. Yes, they got two bills that'll cut the money off from anchor babies and their mothers. But I don't have any faith with what we got in the Senate with Thune and the rest of them that they'll ever actually do this. We need to put pressure on them. Speaker Mike Johnson says House GOP is looking at all angles to legislatively kill the anchor baby scam and birth tourism racket after Supreme Court ruling protects citizenship of children of illegals. Here's the clip. We'll talk about it more next hour with Nick Fuentes.
I want to talk to you about the Supreme Court's decision this week on birthright citizenship. The president tweeting afterwards, True Social, he said, we can easily make it up in Congress through legislation. No long and unwieldy constitutional amendment is necessary. A lot of conservative voices did not read the opinion that way, including Governor Ron DeSantis, Harvard law grad, not exactly a slouch. In this department, he says, it's a substantive decision that says the 14th Amendment requires citizenship for those born to, among others, birth tourists or those unlawfully present in the country will need either a constitutional amendment or a future court to overrule this. Mike Lee joining in with that as well. Senator saying it's going to be a long fight to a constitutional amendment. You, I knew before Congress as a constitutional attorney and scholar, what say you about how this gets done, if there's a change to be made?
Well, I used to litigate constitutional law cases, so I really enjoyed Justice Clarence Thomas's dissent. Everybody should read that, must read. He explained that the 14th Amendment, the original intent, was to enhance and really value citizenship, and it's been devalued because of birthright tourism, which is what we have now. It's a threat to the rule of law and national security. We do need to address it. We're looking at all angles. If there's some legislative fix, we'll advance that immediately. If it's a constitutional amendment, as you know, it takes a little more time. But we've got to address this. It really is a serious, serious issue.
Time for folks to brush up on Schoolhouse Rock. Yes. It is quite a process, and it isn't often done. All right, Speaker, good to see you. Thank you so
great
much.
Great to see you.
Now, we should air those old School of Rock. How a Bill's done. Those are great when I was a kid. They don't like that now, though. They don't want that on air. It shows half of the young people don't even know what the country's about or who founded it. Here's the deal, and I need to do a deeper dive on this on air. There are tens of thousands of Chinese nationalists that have more than 10 children they've had in the U.S. through surrogate women. And there's a couple billionaires that have over 100 kids, and they sign them up for welfare, and it's a business. They never even come see the kids. That should be illegal as hell. And, of course, it's California where they allow it. I mean, federally, too, but California's got special laws. It is crazy. They're farming them off of our welfare system. It's like they farm homeless and farm mentally ill people. The NGOs sign up, take most of the money, give them all the fentanyl they want. It's sick. Hour number three with Nick Fuentes live straight ahead. Stay with us. We're extending America's 250th mega sale, the biggest in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. That means this Monday the 6th and Tuesday the 7th at midnight central, the biggest sales ever. Buy one, get one free. Up to 60% off the best-selling supplements, Patriot apparel, 50% off, and more. Take action now at AlexJonesStore.com. Have you noticed all the big universities and corporate media and governments around the world run down America all day? That's because the American system stands against their globalist system. And as the public figures that out, their corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive, communistic, anti-human death cult can't compete with what America stands for. And we stand in the shoes, on the shoulders of our forebears. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, old, young, if you love liberty and freedom, and if you want to be free, and if you want to control your own destiny, you believe in meritocracy, then America is for you. It's under attack because the idea of it stands in the way of the enemy. And America is a dream, just like a dream to get married or a dream to start a business or a dream to write a poem or write a song. And when you do that, those dreams come true. But we have to breathe life into those dreams. They want to kill those dreams. Don't let them break your will. Be proud to be an American and know people around the world still love America. Understand it's the globalists that have hijacked us, and we're in the process of taking our country back from the Chi-Coms and the Israel lobby and the globalists and Hollywood and the left and all of them. And that's why it's so important to support the next leg in the info war at AlexJonesLive.com. And, of course, at the AlexJonesStore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements, collectible knives, the best water filtration, and more that will empower and enrich your life while keeping this beacon of truth on the air as we accelerate into the future and as the Great Awakening prepares the final defeats of the globalists and their Great Reset. I salute you all. This is 1776 2.0. We're unstoppable together. God bless you all. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
It's not Mission Impossible. It's a mission that we have to take on. We don't have a choice. We can't give up. We got to defeat the globalists. Nick Fuentes is about to join us for the next 2 hours, and then Sneeko might be popping in. We're not sure yet, but I'm on his show at 3 p.m. right when this ends in 2 hours from now. And Harrison Smith is going to be carrying that live on The War Room. You'll find The War Room on rumble.com/The War Room Live. I've also told him to post his feed on Real Alex Jones at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. I want his feed, too, on there, guys. I said that a few weeks ago, and I noticed it hasn't been put there yet. I want to make sure that happens. I want to promote Harrison. I want to, all the hosts we're going to be bringing on. We've got to be promoted on the main channel. And they can have their own channels as well. We'll get into this more with Nick. Iran, the Islamic uprisings, midterms, all that coming up. But here's a little bit of Nick last night reacts to rape allegations against Graham Plattner. And, yeah, I don't support Plattner. I don't like evil Democrats. But the Republican he's running against is just as bad. So here's that clip.
And this is a shame because Susan Collins is a terrible Republican. She's one of the worst. Always votes against Trump. Is in no way, shape, or form even meaningfully right wing. And so if any Republican needs to go, it's her. And I don't like Graham Plattner. I think he's another one of these communists and obviously a degenerate. And I'm not a big fan of his either. But Susan Collins really has got to go. She is easily one of, if not the worst Republican that's running for re-election in the Senate, and I would be ecstatic to see her lose the race and for the Republicans to lose the Senate with her. That would be phenomenal. And so it's sad to see that Graham Plattner is being destroyed over this. It's funny, though, because this is just another Me Too sex scandal, just another Me Too fake allegation. So this woman is claiming that 5 years ago, her boyfriend, who she's in a situationship with, on and off, barges into her home and starts being forceful with her. She says in an interview that what she said to him when he starts initiating sex is, "My back hurts. I don't feel like it." They have sex. She doesn't even kick him out of the house. She goes to bed with him in the same bed. He stays the night. She sleeps with him in the same bed. She wakes up in the morning and says, Hey, she wakes up in the morning after this traumatic rape that she needs therapy for. She wakes up. "Hey, you remember what happened last night? That you raped me?" And he goes, "No, I don't remember." And then he goes home. She continues seeing him
for a month later,
waiting to see if she's going to get pregnant because she wasn't on birth control. She continues seeing him for a month after the fact. And then when she realizes she wasn't pregnant, she says, "Hey, by the way, when you had sex with me all that time ago, that wasn't consensual. We're over." She later texts a friend who is interested in dating him. She says he's a charming guy, intelligent, charismatic. She goes, "But he's a little recklessly consensual sometimes." Recklessly sort of consensual sometimes, she says. This is how she describes her rapist. No police report. She comes forward with the allegation years after the fact. She tells the New York Times he had inappropriate conduct, but she didn't say it was a rape until after he won the primary. And now that it looks like he might actually get the seat and win the election and become a senator, oh, now it's a rape. Okay. Now it's a rape. And so this is just one of the most ridiculous Me Too stories I've ever heard of all time. You've heard some pretty ridiculous Me Too rape allegations, sexual assault. This one really takes the cake. So first of all, and listen, I've never had a relationship. Maybe I don't understand how this works. How is it that someone you're actively having sex with can rape you? I really don't get that. I understand if it was maybe forced or you weren't in the mood.
We're going to come back with like Nick Fuentes live. That's Nick from his show, hit show on Rumble, rumble.com/Nick J. Fuentes. We'll come back to him. But the point is they're all eating their own, and it's just insane. Back in 60 seconds, share the live feeds right now. Globalists are collapsing worldwide, but they're fighting back with tyranny, censorship, and more. And they have targeted my operation more than anybody else's. But that's okay. That means we're over the target. It means we're effective. And I couldn't have done any of this without you. All the success of my operation to the listeners, the viewers, your word of mouth, your support, and, of course, the great crew. And that's why I want to just thank you all as America approaches its 250th anniversary. We have to understand they're trying to demoralize us, trying to break our will. We can't let them do that. It's the globalists that are losing. We're actually winning. So, to celebrate America's 250th anniversary, we're launching the biggest sale in the history of thealexjonesstore.com. Buy one, get one free, ultramethylene blue. Buy one, get one free, bovine colostrum. Buy one, get one free, Shilajit complex. So incredible. And up to 60% off on all the other supplements, 50% off on all the Patriot apparel, limited issue, 250th anniversary, and more. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air and celebrate our American Republic, the globalist hate.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
All right, it's 1:06 Central Time. That's 2:06 Eastern, 12:06 Mountain, 11:06 Pacific. Or there's some time in Australia or in England on the Greenwich Mean Time. Wherever you're listening, welcome to the global transmission. Nick Fuentes is with us for the next hour and 50 minutes or so. And then Harrison Smith comes in to do the War Room live. I've agreed to go on Sneeko's show at 3 p.m. So we're going to be simulcasting that. That should be interesting, to say the least. And, you know, this Sneeko thing is one of the top stories since he was at that Islamic rally, one of many in New York, saying, we're taking over, every home will be Islamic, which is the Quran. It's a manual of takeover and pedophilia and marrying nine-year-olds and Muhammad being gangbanged by 30 black men to get their seed. I'm not kidding. That's in there in the Hadiths. And that's what it is. It's a nightmare situation. Just because we're upset with Israel and don't like what Israel's doing doesn't mean we're, you know, on board with Islam. And Nick's been talking a lot about that lately. And we're going to get to that. I know people want to hear about that because it really captured the world's attention. And I would say if you got to mark a line, in just general the last few months, Muslims have said, we're 10% in most countries now, we're taking over, that's what the Quran says. Then they go in the violent mode to attack you in the towns and cities, to drive you out, to take over town by town. This is a formula. It took them, you know, 700 years of them attacking Europe until we did the Crusades back. And I'm predicting you can mark this line in the future as when the new Crusades began. This is the beginning of the beginning, and I predict into the future that you're going to see Christian nationalism that Nick's been predicting for a decade explode, and it is the future. And America first, and not white supremacy, but whites in the West not bowing to being told to take a back seat by the globalists, by the Israel lobby, and its coalition of anti-whites. And there's going to be a lot of people who aren't white, who understand the West, want to be part of it, who actually are on board. So I'm not against blacks, Hispanics, Asians, anybody, Jews that don't want to be part of this, Muslims that want to no longer be Orthodox Muslims that want to be reformed. That's great. But you've declared war on us just like you did for 700 years. Muhammad comes along and it takes 700 years till we fight back. And the whole corporate system gets up there and says, we started it. No, we didn't start it. We finish it. And I predict that we are in the beginning of the second great crusade. That's coming up later with the Sneeko coverage as him just being a mile marker that, oh, the new crusades, you can mark this as when the boiling begins. It's here. But let's go there first briefly as a little prelude, an hors d'oeuvre, and then let's get into Iran and the huge developments there, how that ties into geopolitics, then socialist, communist, winning all the major primaries, and more with Nick J. Fuentes. Follow him on rumble.com/Nick J. Fuentes. Nick, thank you for the time. You have been particularly eloquent, as usual, but you're getting better and better, such a young guy out there. I see you battling the culture wars everywhere, and more, you're like the mainstream. And then now people have to do low IQ anti-Semitism and just act like total psychos to try to somehow get attention. But as you predicted a year ago, that's burning out. And the ascension of Planet Groiper is accelerating. And we've seen the curse of the Groipers again with old Sneaky.
Yeah, he's really been a victim of the Groiper curse. And so have the Muslims in the World Cup. I don't know if you saw what happened with Egypt the other day, but they blew their 2-1 lead in the last 10 minutes of the game. And Sneaky was crying about it in New York, literally weeping, tears falling out of his eyes. But you're right. This is something I talked a lot about towards the end of last year and the beginning of this year. And it's sort of interesting. I'd like to talk a little bit more about this on my show and maybe do a project about it. But it's interesting how the pro-Palestine cause, anti-Israel cause for the past couple of years has obviously united a lot of people. And it's brought a lot of people, I think, to America first. I think it's brought a lot of awareness about the influence of AIPAC in Israel. But something that I started to notice around late last year, early this year, is the extent to which any and all criticism of Israel is increasingly ideologically captured by Muslims and the left. And I started to notice that when Charlie Kirk was killed. Charlie Kirk was killed by, I believe, Tyler Robinson, leftist. And whatever happened with Charlie Kirk, I know some people disagree. Some people believe in some conspiracy theory. Regardless, it was tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of left-wingers that celebrated. So whoever you think killed them, left-wingers actually welcomed the development. They were glad that he was gunned down in cold blood in front of his family who was watching this, I think, remotely. And when that happened, I think in a moment, the right wing and really the whole country was united against the left. People said the radical left killed Charlie Kirk or celebrated it at the minimum. And something must be done. We have to go after Antifa. We have to go after some of these cells. And that's been a problem for a long time. The healthcare CEO, the assassination attempts against Trump, and then Charlie Kirk. But then what started to happen after the killing of Charlie Kirk was all of a sudden you had Max Blumenthal, a Jewish leftist, but also many of the Muslims start to say, no, it's an Israeli plot. It's Israel and no left-wing people commit violence. And as a matter of fact, there is no right and left divide. That's totally artificial and made up. The only thing that exists is just Israel. And I remember thinking, Charlie Kirk was pro-Israel his entire career, his entire profession. Why would Israel kill their number one guy? And then this was something that was picking up steam in the beginning of the year with the extradition of Nicolas Maduro from Venezuela, the killing of those two protesters by ICE in Minneapolis. Those were a couple of other issues where once again, this Israel thing came up. They said, you can't be in favor of Southern Spear and the New Monroe Doctrine, which is to say taking over Venezuela and maybe Cuba and Nicaragua, because that's Israel. And you can't be in favor of ICE deporting Somalians, scamming American taxpayers, because that's Israel too. They said ICE is training with the IDF. So somehow that's Israel also. And I basically put all these things together and I realized that between the killing of Charlie Kirk, extradition of Maduro, the ICE killings in Minneapolis, these are all things that the left wing and Muslims benefit from blaming on Israel. And I realized all of a sudden it's like I don't have anything in common with these people. And just because I'm against Israel and the war in Iran doesn't mean I'm in favor of communism in Venezuela or the regime in Cuba, doesn't mean I'm in favor of abolishing ICE and open borders, and doesn't mean I think that there is not a real problem with left-wing violence when there so obviously is, and something needs to be done about that by the federal government, by the executive branch. And so this is something I've been really outspoken about lately, and I think only now are people really starting to realize the extent of the problem. And you see what guys like Sneeko, Jackson Hinkle, Max Blumenthal, Dan Kazarian, as I like to call him, many of these people that are not even really patriotic, they're not nationalists, they're not America first, they're just anti-Israel, and they're either left-wing or Muslim or captured by one or the other. And so that's something I've really been adamant about lately.
Well, I'm not trying to say, see, I told you so, but I remember about 3 years ago, people could pull it up, and you've been right about things I was wrong on just as much. We're not wrong a lot. I'd say we're both about 98% accurate. I was like, listen, Islam is a major deal. There's 2 billion of them. They're allied with the left. We got to harp on Islam. And you're like, yeah, but that's really, you know, Israel uses that as a diversion. And it's true that the Israel First crowd and the greater Israel crowd props themselves up with their Zionist and Christian Zionist propaganda that, oh, you got to be with Israel to be against Islam. And that plays into Blumenthal and others, who I think mean well. But, yes, I mean, oh, the IDF's training ICE. Not even true. I remember that thing. And, oh, obviously Israel killed him. And I'm not saying that couldn't be possible, but we were told day one that was it. And nobody wanted to talk about 10 trannies days before saying he'll be dead when he comes to town in a couple of days. And then they said, see, we told you we'd kill him. And then we found out Cash Patel didn't want to interview them. I learned that from TPUSA at the top. Patel told him that. So I had a lot of issues and still do. But now Robinson's wearing the trans flag. They have the DNA. They have all this. And now they have the video of him, as they said they did, with the gun in his leg, you know, clearly going up, you know, to the top of the building and all of it. And for everybody that said, no, absolutely, you know, Israel did it, or, you know, absolutely, they're going to look foolish as more and more of this comes out. Now, I've said a lot of the official story doesn't add up. The bullet not going through, all of that. The FBI confirmed, the contractor went public, saying we want it all concrete scooped out under where he was 4 feet in 2 days. We want it covered up. Well, if bullets didn't hit that, what are you doing? A lot of weirdness. We should all ask questions. But absolutely, this thing to then attribute everything to Israel every time. And then if you criticize what Islam's doing, they always say, oh, you're with Israel. They say it to you. They say it to me. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be bitten by a rattlesnake or a cobra. I don't want to be shot in the head with a 357 Magnum or a 12 gauge. It is a false equivalency to say you're either for Israel or you're for Islam. It's moronic. But we do get it from the neocons, the 1.3 billion Israel officially funded the last year for domestic propaganda, you know, coming after those of us that criticize Trump. You and I and others that have been listed saying, oh, we're Qataris and all this asinine crap, when we have our biggest base in Qatar. Trump gets a jumbo jet from Qatar. I'm not even trying to bash Trump. It's just the idea. And notice when the Southern Poverty Law Center documents came out, you weren't a Fed. I wasn't a Fed. A bunch of these groups were. When the WikiLeaks comes out, I'm not a Fed. When the Epstein files come out, he's attacking me. Files come out about them targeting you. And the truth is, the people they're claiming are Qatari agents and all the rest of this, that's not true. We're not Jewish agents. That's not true. We're America firsters indeed, in action, and that's why we're popular, and that should show the system where the future is. I want to talk about the ascension later of America first, but let's get in. Let's just do Sneeko now and do Iran and all that later, because we're already here. Let's talk about what I said earlier. Do you agree that this is really the beginning of the Second Great Crusade and that we're going to be victorious? It may take 50 years, but I can feel it. Nick Fuentes.
I hope it is. I hope it's the beginning of a Christian revival. But I think we have to first start with awakening a consciousness within America about what our civilization is. And this is why I think it's really meaningful, because it's sort of interesting that for a couple of years, you had the Zionists who mostly control the Republican Party and the right wing. Obviously, they have influence among the Democrat Party. We recognize, though, that Netanyahu and his Likud government, they have a very special play with the Republican Party, very special relationship with the Trump family in particular, but also the Republican Party in general. And it's interesting how the only way it's been acceptable for the past few years to be contrary to this influence of Israel and recognize Israel as a distinct civilization. Jewish civilization, Israel, it's the Jewish religion, it's the Jewish ethnicity, it's the Jewish culture. That's really separate and distinct from Europe and from Christendom. It's different from Europeans. It's different from Christianity, different ethnicity, different religion. The only way to meaningfully oppose the influence of this foreign civilization in America so far has been really to side with Muslims. That seems to be the most That's like the overwhelming, loudest voice in the room, is free Palestine from the river to the sea, promoting the Muslim religion. And what I've tried to promote, contrary to both of these things, is that we actually have a role in all of this. We are a distinct, separate civilization. We shouldn't be dominated by Israel and by this Jewish nation inside of America, New York City, LA, and Miami. We also shouldn't be dominated by Muslim civilization. We also shouldn't be dominated by, let's say, the Saudis, the Qataris, Iran, these other countries. We are Christians. We are Europeans. We are the inheritors of Greece and Rome and all those great colonial empires, the Dutch, the Spanish, English, French, Portuguese, and so on. We should really embrace our identity. So I think in order to have this crusade, in order to really assert our role separate and distinct from the others, we have to become aware of who we are again. What is it to be American? What is it to be white? What is it to be Christian? I think there's a lot of work to be done on that front.
I 1 trillion percent just interrupt. Agreed. When I say crusade, I mean the beginning of the renaissance of rediscovering our identity, not bowing, not cucking, becoming territorial again, really learning our identity again. As the crusade, it took 700 years before. I think it's going to be accelerated now. And within the coming decades, we will then see major pushback. And I mean real deportations, because the Muslims are just going to get more violent, more arrogant. They're not going to stop. And if I look at the numbers and the facts, I know at a gut level, we already see it. We're going to rally, and it's going to be really tough and rough. But in the end, we're going to win because the West is superior, and God's hand is on us, not on Israel and not on the Muslims. We have the manifest destiny, Nick Fuentes, and you're going to be seen in the history books as one of the key harbingers, or John the Baptist, of what is about to happen.
Well, and you as well. And you, we all are, I think. Everybody in the Patriot movement and the America First movement will be as well. And I agree. I hope that's the way that it goes. It'll be interesting to see what shape that takes, though, because obviously in America, we have a little bit of a problem. Unfortunately, a lot of the Protestants are extremely pro-Israel. And so that's sort of an issue. And many of the white people are very liberal and atheist. So the religious dimension, I agree with you. It's going to need a lot of work. We're going to need to kind of, like you said, stop cucking and start taking up space, recognizing and being proud of who we are and so on. With regard to the Muslims, though, you were 100% right, I have to say. You've been very gracious, and you say that I was right about Trump and I predicted that we'd go to war with Iran. You're 100% right about the Muslims. And I'll say that in 2023, 24, and 25, I did think it was useful that the Muslims and the left were bringing that Israel issue to the forefront, because they really were.
And
they created a wedge within the Democratic Party. They split the Democrats. I think that hurt Biden, helped Trump get elected, which I know you supported. And I think a lot of people recognize might be better than what we would have gotten under Kamala Harris, although I think it's a little contentious. So it definitely created a wedge among the left and the Democrats. But it also brought this issue to the forefront because liberals control the mainstream. And so if the right wing is criticizing Israel, we're seen as Nazis. We're seen as Hitler lovers or something like that. It's from a racial, bigoted point of view. If the left wingers bring the Israel issue to the fore under this aegis of caping for Palestine, they're white knighting for the indigenous people of the Middle East, you're able to kind of sneak it past the goalie, and it gets into the mainstream, and it seems like it's less offensive for some reason. And so I think for some time, that was useful. There was a time and a place for that. But what I started to recognize this year is that basically it's becoming the case that if you're Israel critical, you're also now expected to be left wing. And what really made me wake up to this was the DSA election in New York a couple of weeks ago, where Zohran Mamdani's three candidates beat the Democrat establishment-backed candidates in their primaries. And so, for example, there was one of those Zohran-backed DSA candidates, this Chevalier. She's a black woman. She gets elected in the primary. And you look at her platform, and her platform is abolish ICE, abolish prisons, defund the police, open borders, abortion on demand. She has tweets going back 6 years where she says she's wiping her dirty hands on the American flag like it's a napkin. She's wearing a mask saying BLM, defund the police. And I saw that, but at her rally, when she won on election night, people were chanting that they defeated AIPAC. This was seen as a victory over Israel. And I saw Matt Walsh, who I'm not the biggest fan of, he tweeted about this person and said, this is an anti-white, anti-American communist. These people are the enemy. Now, Ryan Grimm, he's a left winger. He's at Drop Site News. He's very supportive of this. He said that Matt Walsh calling this woman anti-American and anti-white, he said that's helping Netanyahu. He said, if you are against this woman, you're pro-APAC, you're pro-Netanyahu. This is Ryan Grimm, a white male leftist at Drop Site News. And I replied to him on Twitter. I said, Ryan, are you really saying if we have a problem with this despicable human being that wants no borders, no prisons, no police, abortion on demand, she hates the American flag, so disrespectful. I said, if I have a problem with that, I'm pro-APAC, I'm helping Netanyahu. And to me, that encapsulates what is happening on the Israel critical side, which is the left is basically using that to bring all the people in the center into their radical 100%. Cause. It's basically, it's like a Trojan horse.
100%.
And so I said, we need to start drawing some lines and saying, look, I'm America first. I'm not anti-Israel. I'm America first. And that makes me critical of Israel's influence, but it also makes me against communists, open borders, all the rest
100%.
Of that.
100%. And they successfully, with the help of the Israel Firsters, Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro, because they make it, you're either for Israel or you're pro-Islam, pro-communist. And so you're getting it from both sides that fool a lot of people, but I see people waking up from that. But I don't even want to give people time, but that was, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago. I'm sure you've seen this, but Bilzerian, Sneeko, without me even looking, I saw yesterday and today, six different people in my feeds. And then I knew that I'd seen you on other shows say the opposite, so I went and found a compilation of Groypers countering it. I think it was Nick Fuentes Updates or something. We played part of it earlier. I put it in a special report. But they're all up there saying, Nick Fuentes won't talk about Israel now that he made it big time and got on Piers Morgan. Your show's way bigger than this. Like, we want to get on the corporate media. Sure, we'll do it, but it's not like that big a deal. I mean, I'm on, they attack me on everything constantly every day. And I care less. It's like, I mean, that's being on it. But the point is the level of deception. You go on those shows and intellectually and get people to wake up because you know your facts, eloquently expose Israel first trying to run our country and try to take over our military and intelligence intensely. And then they're just bald-faced lying, saying you're with Israel now. That is the same tactic, and it's such an insult to their viewers. And most people don't buy it, but I see some idiots buying that. If somebody lies to me like that, I never listen to them again. So why do you think they're so recklessly lying about you?
Well, it's a little bit suspicious to me. I'm a little bit curious because I actually talked with Dan about this months ago. He said to me, you're not talking about Israel anymore. I said, Dan, I talk about it every week on my show. He said, well, you don't talk about it on interviews. I said, which ones? He said, Tucker and Jack Neal. I said, I talked about it in both of those interviews at length. He goes, well, you didn't talk about it the entire time. I said, Dan, this is persuasion 101. I said, you can't just hit the same issue over and over and over. By the way, I do. I said, but if that's literally every sentence is F Israel, F Israel, I said, it gets monotonous. I said, you actually want to meet people where they are. You want to present as well-rounded. This is just basic how to win friends and influence people. Now, what's curious about somebody like Dan is I notice he's friends with Candace Owens. He's friends with Tucker, or not friends with Tucker, but he likes Tucker Carlson. Now, let's just say from a purely objective point of view, Candace Owens says repeatedly, it's not the Jews, it's the Frankists. It's got nothing to do with those real Jews. They're not the issue. It doesn't even really necessarily have something to do with Israel. It's these Frankists. Tucker Carlson says repeatedly, Israel's not my enemy. I love Israel. It's the secular government in Israel that's the problem. And so I noticed the purity test only applies to me, even though I'm the one that's saying it is Jewish nationalism, it is Jewish supremacy that's the problem, that's not good enough. But these other people that clearly have a more diluted ideological perspective, he doesn't seem to criticize them. So that makes it a little bit suspicious to me. But like you said, you don't even need to get that deep into it. It's just a lie. They just make this up and say, he doesn't talk about that anymore. He's running cover for them. I'm talking about the same stuff as I always have been on the show. And I agree with you. Once you realize somebody is bad faith or lying, why then listen to them at that point? So I saw that. And not only is it totally insane and ridiculous, you know, on the one hand, I have Mark Levin calling me Little Adolf every week. Tucker Carlson says I'm too anti-Semitic for him. But then on the other side, I have Dan Kazarian, who is 12% Jewish himself, by the way, saying I'm not sufficiently anti-Semitic. So it's like I just can't win. You know, according to
the mainstream... Well, exactly. We got to come back and finish up on this. But at first, and I've seen this for a while, they do it to me too, I thought it was just jealousy and just a way to act like they're more powerful and more pure or whatever. But now it's a talking point, and it's not true. Nick, let's come back and talk about Sneeko and the outrage he's caused. Then I want to look at the Iran disaster, the midterms, more of the Democratic Socialist of America, and more with Nick J. Fuentes. Follow him on Rumble at rumble.com/Nick J. Fuentes and find him on X. I'm Alex Jones on Rumble, rumble.com/Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back. Stay with us. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial, and this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Inshallah, the whole world is Muslim. The whole world can accept the truth. The whole world can go to heaven, God willing. The whole world can reject the idols, reject this pagan worship, reject the skin color worship, get rid of racism, endless wars, oppression of others, get rid of this division. Inshallah, the whole world says La ilaha illallah and could go to heaven. I want the best for you. I love you. I don't want you to burn in hellfire for eternity for worshiping yourself, or for worshiping Trump, for worshiping the Jews in Israel. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to have eternal paradise.
He's doing the citizen vigilante thing. Ah!
And we'll get the clip in a moment, too, the one that went super viral, that Elon Musk, you know, reposted, of where he, you know, says, we're taking over, every home will be Islam, we're going to dominate, we're going to take control. And the reason we're spending some time showing this guy is he really got people's attention. He really pissed people off, because it's not just some guy that can barely speak English saying Islam's going to take over, the thousands of videos of imams and their marches and all of that. You know, this is a guy with an American accent just sitting there saying, screw you, I'm going to plant my flag up your ass. Nick Fuentes.
Well, and what's interesting about it is I actually saw Sneeko do a stream a little bit later with the brother of Myron Gaines from Fresh and Fit. And the brother is from Sudan, and he was born a Muslim. He's a lifelong Muslim. Sneeko's a convert. Sneeko's born Catholic, born in America. He's not Arab. He's not from the Muslim world. He became Muslim. And he sat down, he talked with Riyad, who's brother of Myron Gaines. And Riyad was talking to Sneeko about this big public prayer they did in Times Square. And Riyad, who's actually born a Muslim, like I said, from Sudan, from a Muslim country, speaks Arabic. He said, actually, that's not a good Muslim practice. He said, because when Muslims go out in Times Square and they do their prayer in public, he said, that's provocative. And it's intended to be provocative. He said, you're actually, what you're doing when you do this is you're antagonizing everybody. And what that does is it actually makes people dislike Muslims. Obviously, because it's meant to be a challenge. When they go and take up space in the public square, literally in Times Square, it's meant to say, we are here, we're Muslim, this is our territory now. And so ironically, it's the person who was born Muslim, is Muslim, speaks Arabic, who says, no, don't do this, this is going to backfire. And what's interesting, Sneeko replied to that and said, you just want to be white. You just want to be white so bad. You just want to make the white people happy. And you realize that this Muslim and left-wing thing, it goes hand in hand, which is to say that it's all motivated fundamentally by anti-Americanism. They hate whites. They hate Christendom. And they recognize America as emblematic of Europe and Christendom. This is the big white Christian empire, whether we like that or not. That's how they see it. And that's really what it represents to them. And so when you see Sneeko say, you know, the whole world's going to be Muslim, la, 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 the whole world's going to be Muslim, whatever. And then you see him the next day and he's looking like a maniac. He's baring his teeth. His eyes are wide. He's like a maniac. You recognize that what this is about is really something like a race war. That for all this talk about rejecting the idolatry of skin color, the idolatry of one's race, these material things, why did Sneeko become Muslim? Why does he wear the black suits? He's trying to emulate Malcolm X because he thought Christianity was too white. He needed an anti-white religion, a non-white religion, a third world religion. So he doesn't feel like an Uncle Tom. He doesn't feel like he wants to be white. He's not desperate to be liked. And when you hear this rhetoric about, you know, we're going to end all racism, we're going to end all genocide, we're going to make the whole world Muslim, it's really indistinguishable from leftism. It's indistinguishable from what leftists say about America with their socialist, anti-colonial, anti-Western, anti-American rhetoric. And that's why they're natural allies. That's why, and it's sort of interesting because you look at a guy like Zohran Mamdani, who Sneeko's a big supporter of in New York. Mamdani is a Muslim, but Mamdani also has drag queens in the city council doing their voguing, doing their dance for Gay Pride Month. And you'll have these DSA candidates backed by a Muslim, and they support queer liberation and feminism and the rest of it. And you say, how do you reconcile Islam? How do you reconcile Orthodox Islam, which is deeply reactionary and conservative in terms of sexual morals and things like that, with leftism, which is queer liberation and feminism and the rest of it? What they have in common is they both hate America. What they have in common is they both hate whites, hate America, hate Europe and the colonial empires, maybe more than they resent each other. And so they're willing to put those differences aside and basically unite to say, we're going to stop the deportation of Muslims. We're going to tax the white people, give it to the non-white people, refugees welcome. We're going to end the wars, do all these things. That's effectively what they have in common. So that's the unholy alliance. And the problem is, like you talked about earlier, that's putting us in this dialectical position where it feels like you either are going to be right-wing and Zionist or you're going to be left-wing and Muslim. And I feel like people like you and I are stuck in the middle saying, I'm America first. I'm right wing. I'm Christian. I think America has this white identity and I want to put America first. And I don't necessarily want to bow to Israel. I don't want to bow to a third world invasion from these resentful third worldists either that just hate America and want to see it fundamentally reduced and have its wealth extracted from it and reappropriated and given to these, you know, workers of the world, these oppressed indigenous people, formerly colonized people of the world. So I see that clip and it's basically, this is what we're up against in 2028. This is why I have this very difficult relationship with the GOP, because as we've talked about many times on the show and had really, I think, productive, interesting conversations. On the one hand, we have our criticisms of the GOP and we see where it's gone wrong. Obviously, the suppression of the Epstein files, the war in Iran, the failure to carry out mass deportations. And so we'd like to punish the GOP and put them on a better track. At the same time, if you don't have a Republican in office in 2028, are we going to get some kind of socialist? Are we going to get a third worldist socialist that wants to abolish ICE and open the prisons?
And the way you got me to at least see your position and think maybe it's right is you're right statistically. If the Republicans lose big in the midterm, that'll make them behave better, get more back to their base, but more importantly, It's 90%+ of the time. If we were to keep the House and Senate, then we will pretty much for sure get blamed for any problems and lose in 2028. So you're right. Lose that battle to win the war. That is really cold-blooded, real politik. But still, I instinctively just have a big problem, ever ceding anything to them. And also, we're not in the same cycles and patterns at a time of big change, so things aren't as sure now. But in general, I think your calculus is probably accurate overall, but we can speak to that. But let me just back up what you just said, because it's so important. Watching Sneeko and the left, that's why there is this natural alliance for 50 years between Islam and communists and the left, is because they are fundamentally anti-Christian, anti-West. And if you really study Islam, and some of the countries don't put up with it, like Saudi Arabia, that are like ultra-Orthodox through their Wahhabist system. But most of the Muslim countries, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Egypt, you name it, is wildly homosexual or bisexual. Actually, the imams teach that you can have sex with men as long as you say you're sorry to Allah. You can always have sex with prepubescent boys. It's even in the Quran that if you're a shepherd and there's a boy and no women, you can have him. They have the dancing boys in Egypt, the dancing boys in dozens of their countries. And this is what they do, famous for Turkish prisons, raping any male that comes into them. So and then you have the hadiths written at the time where you have Muhammad wanting the power of 30 black men who rode him and filled him with their power. This guy would be a top, gay porn star. Muhammad would today. I'm not even trying to start a fight with him. I mean, these are maniacs and slavers. That's what was happening at Mecca and Medina. They took over, the Jewish area there that was involved with the crossroads of the Silk Road and the camel trains coming through, all of that. And so the more you study Islam, the more sick it is and just bizarre. And all these rules where if a woman's raped, it doesn't matter, she gets killed. I mean, it is the ultimate bizarre, ultra-male, supremacist, monotheistic thing. And then you have all these naked lesbians out with Palestinian flags at the Muslim events. They have women in hijabs that go to drag queen story time that we've covered where they're putting half, you know, naked men are putting $50 bills in little boys' G-strings. I mean, this is just freakazoid. So there's also kind of this idea in Christian conservatives that, oh, Muslims oppose drag queen story time. Muslims oppose sexploitation of children. No, they oppose it being admitted. That's why they're the natural groups with the Pakistanis who are the worst on average. With the girls in sex slavery, half a million now we know of, working with the government to supply it to the sick pedo whites, you know, in the UK that are just as bad as they are in many ways. Just fundamentally, this is a get out of jail free card system where Muhammad always gives all these excuses and all these reasons the way they can basically do whatever they want. If you're not a Muslim, they can lie to you. They can enslave your women, put them in sex slavery. They can sell you drugs. They can kill people. They can rape people. I mean, this is a truly psychotic, schizophrenic religion, Nick Fuentes.
Well, and what's more, it's false. It's a false religion. They're wrong. And it's interesting because somebody like Sneeko and I, we had something in common because we're both criticizing the genocide in Gaza. Obviously, I think any decent person, Muslim, Christian, liberal, is against genocide because we believe that, well, I mean, for Muslims, they believe that, well, this is a Muslim country. But for Christians and liberals, we believe in human rights. We believe in human dignity. We believe that people should be respected and so on. So we had a common cause with the Muslims in that we were against the genocide and we were against the influence of Israel and we were against this conflagration in the Middle East in general. But when you see Sneeko come out and say Islam will dominate the world, everyone will be Muslim, you realize that that is basically where the points of agreement end and finish. And you realize we have two completely different worldviews. My worldview is I want the whole world to be Christian. I'm Christian. I want everyone to recognize Christ as their savior. I want everyone in the Catholic Church. And fundamentally, from a political point of view, I'm America first. I want American citizens to be put first by the American government. If you have some third worldist Muslim that says, I want to end racism and I want everyone to be Muslim, you realize this is a person with a totally different worldview. It's a fundamentally different worldview. If they win, they're going to have what? Sharia law. They're going to let Muslims massively migrate into the United States and Europe. That's not that. That's like the defeat condition for we lose if that happens. So I just don't think there can be any kind of alliance with those people. And I also think that there is a foreign money component there as well. And obviously that happens with Israel. We all know that. With AIPAC and with the Zionist Organization of America, Republican Jewish Coalition. It goes on and on and on. And Larry Ellison controls the media. I mean, this is endless. And this is at this point very well documented. I believe it's also true when you look at Sneeko, he goes to Malaysia and meets with the prime minister. He goes to Indonesia and meets with government figures. He goes to Morocco. He goes to Saudi Arabia. He goes to these countries, I think, with some sort of arrangement with those governments. Why? Because they see an American with an American accent speaking English promoting Islam, and not only promoting Islam, but promoting those countries and showing a friendlier face for those countries. You could say it's Islamism with a human face. And he goes there and he live streams and he makes it look like these are well-organized societies. He extols the values of Islam and Islamic society. And when you look at the United Arab Emirates, when you look at Qatar, when you look at Saudi Arabia, I think that is basically part of their charm offensive against the world, which is to rebrand their countries as destinations for tourism, high net worth individuals, expats to bring their money, also to rehabilitate their reputation. And so I think there's a big foreign aspect of it as well. And again, this gets back to what are we fundamentally about? America first, not anti-Israel, America first. And that means no $7,000 from Israel. That means no Larry Ellison money, no ZOA money, none of that. But it also means, yeah, we actually can't receive a golden visa from the Emirates in exchange for promoting Islam and how great Dubai is. We also can't go to Malaysia and meet with the prime minister and say this Islamist country is amazing. Neither of those things are America first. So, you know, fundamentally, that's what's going on. And it also has some similarities with the left, too. All these leftists that you see promoting the Palestinian cause, even though we're in Iran this weekend for the funeral of the Ayatollah, these guys like Jackson Hinkle. Hinkle is on like a world tour. You talk about Muhammad.
And let me interrupt you because I wanted to get to him during Iran discussion next hour. But since you're going there, give us a little prelude. But before you do that, let me just back you up briefly. One point I didn't back you up on that I meant to get to. Islam always uses tribal differences. It can be the exact same race or genetic group, say in Pakistan, the different imams will play them off. They're very tribal. And when you hear the leftist and Sneeko, it's all very anti-white. He was Black Lives Matter. This is total Democrat Socialist of America, as you said. So you're not stating your opinion. This is a fact. Now he's like, I just believe in free speech and I love America, and under Islam, all the races will unify and there won't be this evil white stuff. I mean, it's just outrageous. Because there's not 2 billion white supremacists that want to force everybody onto Christian nationalism. We don't want to. They are saying they are going to force us, and he plays the victim now that declaring war on us, that he started a war. And that's the great thing about Islam is once they get to 10%, their Quran tells them to go on an offense. They're running their mouths. Thousands of imams are saying we're going to take over your country. They're on Arabic TV saying we can enslave your women. We're coming for you. So I guess that is the good silver lining here is the extreme arrogance. Also the extreme arrogance of Ben-Gvir and the Israelis. We're going to kill everybody. We're masters of the universe. We run America. We're coming, you know, for you. I mean, what is up with these Middle Eastern cultures? Because I don't hate Jews or Muslims, but the arrogance. I mean, you don't see Westerners running around behaving like this, even though clearly by every yardstick for freedom and innovation and development and women's rights and everything, the West is the most egalitarian, classically liberal, I don't mean modern liberal, system. And we are not heads above. We are light years better when the world recognized that till the CIA leftist, you know, ADL takeover the last 50 years. The whole world was emulating us. They knew. They didn't debate that. The term white supremacy comes from Africa. That was the term they had. And then now it's this class envy, this existential envy that is just eating up the world. Nick Fuentes.
It's hubris. It's hubris. And you point out how Westerners are not like this. You go back to ancient Greece, and at the Temple of Apollo, it's inscribed from the Oracle of Delphi, know thyself, nothing in excess. Those are the two laws. Know thyself, meaning know your place in the world. You're immortal. You're a man. Don't give in to hubris. And nothing in excess. Everything in moderation. The virtue sits between the middle. That's who we are. That is the rational mind of the Westerner. That is the spirit of our civilization from Greece. These Middle Eastern cultures don't have that. The Jews, the Muslims, they don't have that. And you're right. That is one of the benefits is that Sneeko, he's actually brought everybody and unified everybody against him and against Islam. If there was any goodwill, if there was any kind of semblance of maybe a coalition, he's totally ruined that. He's like a Jonah. He gave them the Sneeko curse. And so now it's everybody from you and me and Asmund Gold and Elon Musk and Aiden Ross. All these people are now saying, no, we do not want Islam. It's not everybody's going to be Islam. We want nothing to do with that. And, you know, so to your point, though, about the DSA coalition with these Muslims and everything like that. Do you want to move on to Jackson Hinkle or do you want to stick around with Sneeko?
Well, I do want to finish with Sneeko. Since you mentioned it, let's play the clip. And most people have seen him in case people haven't. Here's Sneeko saying we're going to conquer you, we're going to rule you. But he said even crazier stuff the same day and the next day. There's hours of this. Here he is just looking like he's demon-possessed, doing throat-slitting motions, just in his crazed avarice and bloodthirst for us. Here it is.
Allahu Akbar! Oh, no! This is the Islamic Republic of New Yorkistan. Islam will be in every household. Inshallah, the whole world is Muslim. Welcome to Mamdani's New York. You see this city? You see how it looks? Inshallah, your city looks just like this, too.
it away? Mossad Messi strikes again. Mossad Messi strikes again. Messi is the Netanyahu of football. They just disallowed the goal, bro. Mossad Messi, what the? It's because Netanyahu made Messi kiss the wall. It's because he kissed the wall.
Oh, let me tell you, old Sneeko, you're scaring us how they bomb Europe with the millions of Muslim Africans, all of it. You're coming for us. You're so scary, Sneeko. Let me see your war face, Sneeko. You guys, like the Navy SEAL guys said, you don't act like that at 2 a.m. So you want it, Sneeko? You got it. They'll mark this in the history books at the beginning of the new Crusades. Nick, we got 4 minutes to break. Yeah, let's get into Hinkle now to start Iran. We'll go to the next hour, what Trump's done, and him saying, oh, it's over, it doesn't matter, we're done, we're going to blow up Iran, when he knows that they can't fall the regime and they know the Strait of Hormuz is closed. So this is a disaster Trump walked into. You predicted here before the election he would do before anybody, and that it would destroy the Republicans, and now we're here. So you were very prescient on that. But Hinkle's a very handsome guy, nice guy. I've interviewed him. He goes and hangs out with Maduro at the state events and gets praised in their Congress. He's in Iran. We have a clip of it saying down with America, if I get that clip ready. And I reached out to him. I got his number. He's not calling us back. He's in Iran. It's one thing if you want to say this war is wrong, but like the optics of down with America, what do you make of this?
Well, he lives in Russia. He lives in Russia. He can't come back to the United States because he is on a world tour. And I was going to say moments ago, you brought up how Muhammad was filled with the power of all these African men. I think Jackson Hinkle's on a similar mission because he's been on like a world tour over the past few years. He's hit Venezuela. He's hit Burkina Faso. He's hit Yemen, Iran, Russia. He's literally on a third world tour going around to all these losers and all these different countries, basically to be a famous traitor to America. He's like the Jane Fonda of this era. Because like we talked about with Sneeko, what's the benefit of having Sneeko go to Malaysia and Indonesia and these countries? It's because they basically have an American traitor. It's like when North Korea, it's like if North Korea has a prisoner of war or something praising the supreme leader and communism, saying down with the West. It's no different. They're basically a propaganda device. And so in Jackson Hinkle, they actually have something superior, which is not some, you know, mystery meat Haitian Filipino guy who looks like a chimpanzee. They actually have, like you said, a handsome, although short, white man, a white guy with an American accent, with like an angular, robust face, going to these brown clown countries, like you said, from Venezuela to West Africa to the Middle East, saying, down with America. We support socialism. Remember the martyrs. Destroy the United States. And like you said, it's one thing to criticize the war. We both do that. And I've said even, I think it's beneficial if Iran wins this conflict, because ultimately Israel is driving the war. And we maybe don't want Iran to be destroyed. It's probably not in our best interest in the long term. But there's all the difference in the world between being in America, using our First Amendment rights as patriotic Americans, and saying this war is not good for Americans, and going to a country we are at war with that does legitimately hate us and wants to destroy us, and saying as a propaganda device for that foreign regime, destroy America, down with America. You know, let's not forget, the Iranians have killed Americans. Now, you know, we could talk about the context under which that happened. You know, it's not like Iran was necessarily the aggressor in every one of those situations, but to be in a country where they're doing that, where the population's mobilized against us, it's sort of like this idea of, we all know you can pick on your little brother and you can have a family feud, but you don't go outside the family. You don't pick on your little brother in front of the other people.
Yeah, you know, don't join in with three neighborhood bullies and break your little brother's nose, or your dad's going to break your arm.
Exactly. And that's basically what is happening, but on a much worse level. So I said on my show, I think Trump should drone strike Jackson Hinkle. I don't think he should make it back home. I think he should be made an example out of, because you can't betray the United States of America. I consider that treason. And I think that's why he's living in Russia, because he knows if he comes back, he's probably going to jail or something terrible is going to happen to him. So I think he should either stay over there or he should be at the bottom of the ocean.
Well, I'll say this. I don't normally call people feds, but he may be a super deep cover CIA. because the stuff he does is so reckless. I mean, I would never do that stuff anyways, but if I did that stuff, they'd have killed me or put me in prison. I mean, there's no way you get away with that. I smell something with this Hinkle guy. We'll be right back with Nick J. Poynton. We're extending America's 250th mega sale, the biggest in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. That means this Monday the 6th and Tuesday the 7th at midnight central, the biggest sales ever. Buy one, get one free. Up to 60% off the best-selling supplements, Patriot apparel, 50% off, and more. Take action now at the AlexJonesStore.com. Have you noticed all the big universities and corporate media and governments around the world run down America all day? That's because the American system stands against their globalist system. And as the public figures that out, their corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive, communistic, anti-human death cult can't compete with what America stands for. And we stand in the shoes, on the shoulders of our forebears. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, old, young, if you love liberty and freedom, and if you want to be free, and if you want to control your own destiny, you believe in meritocracy, then America is for you. It's under attack because the idea of it stands in the way of the enemy. And America is a dream. Just like a dream to get married or a dream to start a business or a dream to write a poem or write a song. And when you do that, those dreams come true. But we have to breathe life into those dreams. They want to kill those dreams. Don't let them break your will. Be proud to be an American and know people around the world still love America and understand it's the globalists that have hijacked us and we're in the process of taking our country back from the Chi-Coms and the Israel lobby and the globalists and Hollywood and the left and all of them. And that's why it's so important to support the next leg in the info war at AlexJonesLive.com. And, of course, at the AlexJonesStore.com. With the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements, collectible knives, the best water filtration, and more that will empower and enrich your life while keeping this beacon of truth on the air as we accelerate into the future and as the Great Awakening prepares the final defeats of the globalists and their Great Reset. I salute you all. This is 1776 2.0. We're unstoppable together. God bless you all. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Down with USA.
USA.
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 Down with USA. Let me just say, the Middle is promising to destroy Israel, promising to destroy Trump. All this death to America, five-day funeral for the Ayatollah. I understand they're pissed, but that rhetoric does not help us in this war. And then you've got Hinkle up there while they're all death to America doing all of this. And like you said, if he's not some deep cover CIA operative trying to infiltrate, because he gets into the highest levels of government, then I mean, I don't know what Hinkle's deal is. Because, I mean, you can say what you want about Russia. Putin is popular there. He is winning elections by 80%+. But Venezuela is a dictatorship. He's down there getting awards from him. I'm sure they're giving him money or something if he's not. But, I mean, I got to tell you, I've met him a couple times. My gut says he's like deep cover CIA or something. I mean, what do you think, Hinkle? What do you think his MO is? Because this is pretty destructive stuff he's doing to his future.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I've thought the same thing. You know, on the one hand, you could say this is an American guy who's betraying his country by going to all of our enemies and basically being a propaganda tool for them. On the other hand, you could see that the CIA would consider that a very valuable kind of a person because he is gaining access, perhaps under the pretext that he's some kind of turncoat against the United States. That being said, I have, like you, met him before and I've talked with him in the past. And what is interesting about him is I remember one time he told me that he was in some sort of business deal with Sergey Lavrov. He was put onto some company by Russia's foreign minister. He was dating, I think, Miss Moscow and one of the Russian beauty pageants. And so it really could go either way. I mean, I guess a double agent, you wouldn't necessarily know. Double agent would give the appearance, would give every appearance of being some kind of Russian loyalist or seeking asylum with Russia, but, you know, secretly being an agent. If we knew that, Russia would certainly be onto that. So
yeah, and from what I've seen, he's been kicked out of that inner circle in Russia to a certain extent. I mean, he can come on and defend himself if he wants, but, I mean, I know this. Lee Harvey Oswald was at the super secret U-2 spy plane base in Japan. It was partially declassified. He was ordered to defect. Then, after years in Russia, he comes back with his Russian bride and lives with the head of the White Russian Society, known CIA commander. So Oswald lived with the famous leader of the U.S. White Russians, the czarist. And I mean, so that's a fact that he, so they did that all the time. And I, if I had to make a bet, I'm not saying it's the fact, but if I had to make a bet, you know, in craps or the roulette wheel, I would say Hinkle is a serious CIA operative.
I could see that. Yeah. At the same time, though, he doesn't seem all that smart. He doesn't seem very intelligent. I feel like CIA agents are supposed to be pretty clever and kind of know what they're talking about. He doesn't seem to really know his stuff. So based on that alone, I would probably bet the other way. But it's funny, even in that clip, it doesn't really sound like his heart is in it. He's not screaming.
Well, see,
though,
that's
those people
see,
out there.
See, I've had conversations where I think he acts dumb. But then I knew how to trick him with questions. And I was, he I think it's an, you're smart, Nick. I think if you really, well, we should have, when Hinkle, I guess he'll never come back, but I don't, Hinkle, I'm going to interrogate you.
We had a falling out over Oliver Anthony. Him and I used to be friends, and then I didn't like the Oliver Anthony song, the Rich Men North of Richmond, and he hated that I didn't like that song. That's why we had a major falling out, believe it or not. People say all the time, I don't get along with people, and it's always stupid stuff like that. He said, you criticize Oliver Anthony, you hate the working class. He wanted nothing to do with me. But
you
yeah,
love
I mean,
the working class, but you
dumb.
Tell people not to be a victim. Yeah, it's an uphill battle, but you're telling the working class, get in there, fight harder. That's absolutely true.
Well, exactly. And it figures a communist would sympathize with that because the whole communist ideology is it's the distribution of wealth, which has been misallocated. I say wealth isn't distributed. Wealth is created. Go out there, start a business, be an entrepreneur, invent something. So, yeah, I totally agree. But that's the difference. He identifies as an ideological communist or socialist. You and I are capitalists. So that's maybe the disagreement.
You did a rant 2 weeks ago that I aired, and I'd love to get your 2.0 on that when we come back and then we get into Iran proper. And the midterms, the disaster of the economy that you predicted. But we should get those clips of you like 3 years ago. You started saying Trump's going to get in probably, and then he's going to go to war, and it's going to derail everything, and they're going to lose the midterms. I mean, talk about prescient. But I want you to talk about not giving up, because that is so important. Back in 60 seconds with Nick Fuentes.
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time. Uncensored. Unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe. You got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. Rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, I've been interviewing Nick Fuentes, I don't know, 10 years or something. And I always thought he was smart and, you know, eloquent, and I thought he was coming from a good place. And sometimes he set up, you know, disagreed with, but I understand he's trying to move the Overton window and not be sheepish in the face of leftist attacks. People need to get confident and break out of the control. But I said a few years ago, I said, as he gets older, he's only like 28 or whatever, he's getting better and better and better and already smarter and more knowledgeable about a wide spectrum of stuff than, you know, he could sit there and debate Dinesh D'Souza and top neocons and just wipes the floor with them because he just has a really sharp brain. And the trajectory he's on is just amazing. But notice now, Nick Fuentes in the awakening is really the mainstream. I talk to Americans on the street, family, other talk show hosts. They get upset that we're not radical enough because people that aren't really sophisticated yet don't understand what can actually be done. Or second, third order events, what would happen if they, you know, did what they think needs to be done, that in many cases is simple minded. So, but Nick, you've been through the ringer and you're not a victim, but you've gone through challenges, but just like hiking or marathon or lifting weights or, you know, playing the guitar, everything has to be a lot of time spent, a lot of training, passion, desire. And you did a rant, then we'll get into Iran, all the developments there and midterms, the rest of it, and the time we have left in this hour. You did a really powerful rant about never giving up and not being a victim and just putting one foot in front of the other. And I've noticed that when I've been down and exhausted, when I keep fighting, that's when the biggest breakthroughs happen. And then I level up and get super energized because I realize laying down is not what we're designed to do. It is the process. It is the journey that is the destination. So spend a few minutes here. I mean, I know you're a little more reserved when you're in an interview, but you know, if you want to flip the switch, kind of repeat what you said or update it, because that's my message as well. People ask how I can put up with all this. It's actually the opposite. The vicious attacks, the stalking, the stuff I don't even get into, the unbelievable stuff to my family, which only made us closer, that gives me energy. That pisses me off. And I don't fight the tyrants because I hate them. I do hate them. But it's because I love the good people, and I know that I've got to defeat these lesser men and women who hate me because they recognize I am superior to them in intellect, will. And that's why they don't like you either, because you're obviously a superb person. And that's just true. And we need to learn to recognize our superb people when it comes to humanity. And that is what meritocracy is about. And obviously, out of the whole field out there, no one even comes close to your gravitas at 28 years old. And I'm not kissing your ass. I'm stating what the bad guys already know. But the bad guys ought to be glad that you are a good person and that you really are trying to empower everybody and have a good future for everyone and not just have some battle of the races at some primitive, mindless level as some of the deranged right wing and left wing and Islam and the Israel firsters want to have. You are transcending all of that and helping others transcend it, and that's my message as well. So speak to never giving up.
Well, thank you for the kind words, and I don't know if I could summon the energy that I had on that show. I'll try to as best as I can. In that monologue, I was really talking about personal development, but something that I like to talk about on the show a lot, and even when I give speeches in person, is I like to say that the personal and the political are one, which is to say that a lot of people think in terms of, they say things like, are we too far gone? Is it too late? What can we do? What's the plan? How are we going to save our country? Is it going to be civil war? Is it going to be some kind of separatist movement, balkanization? What is it actually going to look like? And I know it's very trite and I know it's very basic, but the revolution is something that happens in the interior. It's in the interior life. Which is to say that when you look at, for example, the founding fathers, just 4th of July this weekend, The people that built this country were the most remarkable men of their time, maybe the most remarkable group of men in all of time, or certainly I think they rank among the greatest groups of men in all of history. They were some of the richest, the most successful, some of the wisest, most brilliant, most learned, most well-read people. In a word, they embodied American exceptionalism. American exceptionalism for them wasn't a policy. It wasn't an end condition for the country. It wasn't a question of whether we're going to make it or not. It was actually a question of personal character. It was a question of personal virtue. And so when we talk about what's going to happen with the country, I think it starts with a conversation about what we're going to become ourselves. What are we going to make out of ourselves? And so when I really get fired up, when I talk about these things, it's about the individuals that are a part of this movement. And you see that a lot of people are really discouraged and disillusioned and depressed, and we're all sort of weighed down by the conditions of our time. But I like to tell people is that the country's not over. It's not over for you as an individual. It's not over for any of us unless we literally die or we give up. All anybody could do on any given day is just show up to the battlefield. That's the bare minimum, what's expected of everybody. The outcome is determined by God. God controls the world. We are not asked necessarily to understand the plan. We're not asked necessarily to win the battle every single day, have all the answers. What we're asked is every day that we're above the ground is to show up on the battlefield and try, whatever that is. And, you know, to your point, you said there's a lot of people that are even becoming more radical than us. This kind of burn it all down, people that seek violence, destruction, people that want to do impulsive things. That's not the answer either. So I think that really when it comes down to how we're going to save the country, it's about the real sacrifice, the real battle. It's actually the monotonous, sometimes heartbreaking, unrecognized, grueling work of building something, whether that's politically, economically, in terms of personal development. I tell my followers on the show, there was just that big rally in Washington, D.C., and you have all these young guys from Patriot Front. They go out, they march around in this big demonstration. I say, don't go and chase the glory of something like that. Don't go and chase the glory and the recognition of being a part of some kind of large public spectacle, uniform, costume march, waving a flag. I said, the price that we're going to pay, the toll and the sacrifice that we make is actually doing the unglamorous, unrecognized, not sexy work of joining your college Republicans, of going to law school, of maybe going to Silicon Valley and becoming a founder, doing something, in other words, that's hard and boring, but over a long period of time that is ultimately going to result in people like us with our values, with our religion, our worldview, becoming the best in our field, becoming the most competent, having the most resources, and ultimately being the people that can guide the course of history.
And by the way, you do an excellent job because that's how you came up, and then they tried to hire you, the Israel lobby, and then fired you when you wouldn't be their servant and go to Israel. People don't know, just since the 60s, the neocons, literally the Trotskyites, were able to come in and take over the Republican Party through the colleges, through the publishing houses. And then they sent everybody out into the media, into big tech, and that's how they got the control. And that is what we can do. And that's what the left has done. But as populist Christian conservatives, we just sit there and never burrow into the system. We have to do what the communists have done. We have to go in there and work hard and then take over the system. And some of us are sleeper cells nonviolently. Others, you can let them know some of who you are. But the point is, they're all making these movies, how there's all these secret underground white supremacists in one battle after another. That isn't out there. This is an underground white supremacist. This is underground pro-Western, pro-freedom individuals. Some will choose to be vocal. Some will choose to be tip of the spear, like Nick, which is a very dangerous thing. And others will just burrow in. That's what you're saying. Go ahead.
Well, exactly right. And I'm speaking specifically to the elite human capital. I'm speaking to the best and brightest, the people with the most talent, the most capabilities. I really believe those are the people actually that are going to change the world. A lot of people, when they think about and maybe this is not like the most optimistic or universal message for everybody, but people think about in terms of how we're going to save the country, they think about an election. They think about, well, who can we elect for president? Who's going to get 50% of all the votes? And I think we don't need to win necessarily 50% of the people to our ideology. We don't need to target a massive group of people, all ages, all sexes, all races. what I'm focused on is the young men. Pause. I'm focused on the best and brightest young men, because those are the people actually that are ones, the ones that end up changing the world. It's not, sad to say, the boomers, who in many cases are set in their ways. And, you know, they already have their beliefs. They're basically crystallized. You know, their brain doesn't really develop the same way. It's not even some of the older people have their same attitudes and they're in like a stable situation. They got a wife and kids. They can't do much. When you look at the founding fathers, they were all people in their teens, 20 somethings, early 30s. These were all adventurous, brilliant young men that had the willingness and the ability basically to put it all on the line for their ideals. They were idealists. And so that's really who I'm focused on. And I think that's why they consider me maybe disproportionately to be a bigger threat. Even though I'm not necessarily the most mainstream figure or have necessarily the biggest audience, the audience that I do reach are those brilliant young men in the most elite universities, the ones that are really going to go the distance and be those decision makers, tastemakers, influencers. Nick, they're going to, yeah, go ahead.
I want to explain how dead on you are and how you harp on this. And by the way, you are one of the most popular talk shows. You're out there with Tucker and Candace and everybody, especially when it comes to clips. Let's just be clear. You're at the top, very top tier. And I'm kissing your ass with stating facts here. Now, to explain what you're saying here is the Muslims are on average like 7-8%, and in Europe and in North America, and they're expanding as the birth rate and recruitment and prisons and the rest of it, and right in the schools because they're willing to proselytize. And they talk about in elections, it's only 5-10% that can swing anything. So if we get the disadvantaged males and you know, whites, the most targeted group, but people in general that want to join the West and, you know, support it, if we get them to understand that issue and how they can do that with the law degrees and with getting into publishing and going and being in the school newspaper, the college paper, that's how the system gets its people. Then you learn how the sausage is made from the ground up. That's a real education. The colleges, unless it's engineering or medical, are worthless degrees now, but not for the networking and not for being into the power structure. And you can choose whether you want to be a sleeper agent or, you know, quasi, or you want to be a barn burner when you're in there and stir stuff up and create big movements and energize and get others. But we can all do our part like the left does, covering every base there where it looks like there's a choice, but there's not. And what you're talking about is real sophistication, not deception, but those are paths for people, you know, that are highly intelligent and understand who really want to get it done. And not some, you know, instant, everybody wants to be Nick Fuentes, dress like you, act like you. And you were honest with him. You said, some of you may have that skill, but not many. You're going to go into a dead end trying that, shooting for the Michael Jordan position. Whereas there's the position of the team manager. There's the position of the coaches, assistant coaches. There's the, you know, position of the people that supply, you know, the food and drinks at the basketball game. There's all these winning positions that people need to think about, and it's covering those positions. Something like 47% of local elections nationwide run unopposed. And, well, that's because, you know, maybe on the county commission or the water commission, you know, you only get $10,000 a year. And you're not going there to rob. So what? You're doing it there so that you can learn the system and battle tyranny and be a servant and then do a good job and move up. So, because I didn't get big and super successful, and I've been on there 32 years, really for the first five. That was still a fast trajectory. You, instant success, but still gradual compared to now. So people need to understand, Rome wasn't built in a day, and that's what you're saying. And you're bringing up an area that is a real chink in the dragon's armor. Continue.
Well, right. And, you know, the message is not necessarily for a general audience. Because we live in this, like, democratic, capitalist society, and I'm not just throwing those out as buzzwords. We think about capitalism, we think in terms of we want it to appeal to as many consumers as possible. If I'm selling a product, I want every kind of person to want to buy it. The young and the old, the black and the white, the men and the women. And the same goes for politics. If I'm running for election in a democracy, I have to win all the voters, all the different demographics, all the different coveted crosstabs on the exit polls. I want to get all of them. I'm saying my message is not actually for women. My message is not for older people. My message is not even necessarily for people that, you know, let's say are foreigners or second gen or something like that. My message is tailored for a specific kind of person and telling those people accumulate as much power as possible. That's the goal. We want the best and brightest, brilliant young men who have our values to accumulate as much power as possible and really aim for position. Aim for resources, because you bring up the example of the left. That's a really good example. The other great example is what the Zionists did, which is to say that these people came here. They acted as one. They acted as one unit. They rose through the ranks, became lawyers, scientists, businessmen, entertainers, all these different kinds of things. I think about what Mark Levin said at the Republican Jewish Coalition last year after Tucker Carlson interviewed me. He did a response to this traumatic event in the Jewish community. And he said to the Republican Jewish Coalition, he said, we are going to use our positions and our resources and our influence to make a decision about who will be elected in 2028. And you think about that kind of corporate mentality. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the Republican Jewish Coalition. He's speaking as we the Jews. We're going to use our positions as judges, as lawyers, as billionaires and businessmen, as entertainers and actors. We are going to collectively use our different positions, all the things we can contribute in our respective fields. We're going to pool our money, our campaign contributions, resources, and we're going to use it effectively to make ourselves heard, to enforce our will, to influence the direction of the country. And I'm saying that white people can't do that, or let's say white Christians, whatever you want to say, patriots, people that support American nationalism, we can't act because there is no we. The Jews can act because there is such a thing as that corporate community. They have position. They have this group mindset pushing in one direction. We don't have that. So
Nick,
I'm encouraging the young.
Yeah, Nick, you're absolutely right. We've been taught as white Christian Americans or Europeans, period, or anybody else who's pro-West or Christian, you can't have an organization. You can't have a group. India for the Indians, Pakistan for the Pakistan, China for the Chinese, Japan for the Japanese, Israel for the Jews. South Africa for the black South Africans. But then we're taught you can't have a coalition of Christian nationalist white people. If people agree with that, they're welcome to be part of it. But the point is, this is the leadership. We're not allowed to say we have an identity. We're told everywhere, Europe doesn't have an identity. Whites never invent anything. Whites don't have a culture. 13 ethnic groups that aren't white can have knives and swords in England. Whites can't have knives or swords. Now they're trying to ban, I mean, literally a two-tiered class system, because the globalists are in competition and the Israel firsters are in competition with the West because it's so superior. No one's going to take their global government, cashless society, social credit score, internet ID system. If the West exists, they have to extinguish that. And to do that, they've made it about white people, the most, you know, central thing of what is left of the West, because nobody's going to just say, I don't want private property and the right to the Second Amendment. It's easier to say, oh, whites are evil, the founders are bad, the American flag's bad, take down George Washington's statue, take down Teddy Roosevelt's statue, and then to create this global coalition, this 93% not white, to then attack whites. A bunch of whites will get scared, cuck, and bow, take a knee, shine shoes, lick shoes, you know, like Black Lives Matter, literally supplicating so they get passed over and not called Nazi. And what you're doing is saying that magic word doesn't work anymore. You're attacking us. We're done. And that's what enrages the Israel First lobby, is because they've operated like this and done this as an ethnic, religious, corporate combine, and they've gotten so arrogant, saying the NDAA, defense authorization, we're merging with the military, we're going to come after you, your little podcast, we're going to get you. And now that challenge, just like Sneeko's challenge, Islam will conquer you, we're saying that's it. We weren't looking for trouble. You've escalated to that point. You're looking for a fight. You got one. Go ahead.
Right. We have to organize. That's the operative word, organize and act as one. And the reason that the Jews and the Muslims are so powerful is because they are organized and they're able to act in a unified way. And so, for example, you look at the Muslims. Why are they such powerful allies? Because they literally have sovereign states as their sponsors. So when you have the Muslim lobbies or Muslim influence in the United States, they're funded by the Saudis. They're funded by the Emiratis. They're funded by the Qataris. It's literally at the state
white
level.
Christians don't have 53 countries backing them.
Exactly. And the same goes for the Jews. Why are the Jews so powerful? Because they have the state of Israel backing them.
And the U.S.
And so that, right. So that's why the Jews and the Muslims in America, they have chips to play with, because Israel and the Arab League countries, they furnish these communities inside America with chips to play in our political game. So, for example, the Qataris, they just opened up a new embassy. It's very real. I know that's like a Zionist talking point. It also happens to be true that the Qataris are making a play for influence.
Emirates, they spend $30 billion a year in the U.S. alone.
They do. And, you know, so I've talked at length my whole career about Israel. It happens on the other side, too. And the point is to demonstrate the principle, which is if you want power, we can't be individuals. That's the problem. Muslims are playing a team game where they're being backed by countries that sell oil. The Jews are playing a team game where they're being backed by a nuclear armed country. Whites are playing an individual's game. It's a big free for all. We're all on our own. If a black person stabs a white person, the black community rallies and raises $500,000 for that guy. If a white person gets stabbed, we say, well, it's not about race. It's a human being thing. Some human beings sometimes kill other human beings.
And we wonder why the attacks are 20-1, 40-1, because we don't have a lobby. We have had our identity taken away, and the system knows that. Let's go to break. You find Nick at Rumble, rumble.com/Nick J. Fuentes, and on X, we'll put his lower third up right there, Nick J. Fuentes on X. Follow me at Real Alex Jones on X and the network feed at AJN Live. The initials AJN Live. Be sure and follow us there. And so much more, rumble.com/Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget, we've extended the buy one, get one free sale to 3 p.m. today. That's only 30 more minutes at thealexjonesstore.com. We have the shower head filters in now. They're the very best, massively discounted, and the silver coins are selling out fast. Thanks for your support. We'll be right back. Introducing AquaPure, the ultimate water filter shower head. Ladies and gentlemen, on your screen are the major third-party scientific tests. This is the very best, top-of-the-line water filtration system for your shower head. It just takes seconds to be screwed on to any system, no plumbers. You owe it to yourself, your husband, your wife, your children to cut out the gender-bending chemicals that are in all the major tap water supplies. Most well water is contaminated as well. You can't just filter the water you drink. One of the biggest places you can pull the studies up that we absorb poisons is through our skin and through our lungs. The amount of chlorine in major water supplies is insane. You know, if you put fish in tap water, even if you aerate it, even if you feed them, they die within hours. That's because it's toxic. That's because it's poison. Chlorine alone kills bacteria. Great, you don't get dysentery, but it destroys your gut flora, and it's directly linked to cancer. Then you've got the fluoride, you've got the lead, you've got the arsenic. This system reduces it all 95 to 95%. Now, we've got gravity-fed filters that cut it all out, but those are drip, drip, drip. This system is the very best on the market and reduces it from 95 to 99%, depending on the hundreds of chemicals that are out there in the studies that have been done. And that is the top of the line because it's forcing it through fast. It's got really good pressure, and you are reducing it down 95 to 99%. That is the best you are going to get if you live in one of these cities with the deadly tap water. And so many areas like Los Angeles are toilet to tap. They recycle the birth control and the Adderall and all the thousands of pharmaceuticals and the feces and the tampons and the microplastics all go back in, go through all these complex systems. They fill with all this chlorine, and then they ship it back out down your water pipes. And not to mention what's in the pipes and all the buildup. And then when sewage runs off, it gets into the water supply. You are insane if you're drinking tap water. And you can look up the studies for yourself. Almost all well water and aquifers in the United States are heavily contaminated with thousands of different chemicals like lead and mercury and arsenic and fluoride and other forever chemicals. So again, I can tell you forever in my home, We have these systems, and it does hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of showers before it's got to be replaced. The head's not replaced. We have the replacement filters for $30. For this quality, nobody can beat it, and it funds our operation against the globalist. This is very, very competitive at the normal retail. Listen to this. Normal retail is $139, but for everybody, it's $97.99. That's 30% off. And for VIP, $69.99. That is a steal at that deal. So anybody buying anything at the AlexJonesStore.com, whether it's t-shirts, high quality supplements, water filters, you name it, should be a VIP. It's $30 a month. Instantly get $40 to spend, special deals, special offers, and special sales on top of sales on everything. Cancel any time, so it's not even a commitment. You just get the better deals. We get to remind you of those, and we've got a lot of really satisfied customers. Over 90%+ reorder rate on our supplements, and it's starting to happen with our water filters as well, because we've got the best deals, and it funds our information warfare operation. This is the best. You owe it to yourself. Secure yours now while supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com, and I want to thank you for supporting the transmission while at the same time making yourself healthier, wealthier, and wise. God bless you all. Now take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones. Out on the
streets. So here's the bottom line. Humans have always been tribal, always got in groups. And you have the left and the corporate media all over the Western world demonizing whites, saying we're evil, killing everybody, we deserve to die. And then minorities of minorities go out and kill and rape and murder whites, the Muslims, all the rest of it. And then the leftist judges let them go. And then whites just sit there and take it. But more and more, they're not. But I don't get down on the level of what the system wants. They want to create even more division doing that. I go directly to it's divide and conquer, and I break it down. But the fact that Israel's been forced to come right out and say, yeah, we control Congress. Yeah, we spent $1.3 billion last year paying for influencers. And then we're being honest, exposing Qatar and China and the EU and you know all of it. About all these interests, and we're saying people that want America, want freedom, want justice, we have to coalesce, and they've made it all about America being white so they can get rid of it. We say, okay, we'll play that game with you. Anybody that supports overall freedom, you can be on the bandwagon, but it is about America first, and it is about it's okay to be white, and we should stand up for ourselves and getting past the guilt, past the mind control, breaking the spell. And the spell is broken with Islam being cut to it, with the radical expansionist Israel First, Greater Israel group, and they admit they're losing the info war at their World Jewish Conference, all of that. And a lot of Jewish leaders are saying, back off, stop it. Other Jews are self-hating, like whites do, bowing down to Black Lives Matter and saying 54% like Mondami of Jews in America in a major poll, only 27% or 26% Netanyahu. So monolithically in the billionaire class, And with who's running Israel now, it's like 90%, hardcore Likudnik psychos with Ben-Gavir's basically their spirit animal. But there are also then Jews that are allied with their own destruction. And we need to say, we're not in any of this. I don't hate any of you. I don't want to destroy you, but I'm not going to be sacrificed as the sacrificial goat. And I'm going to play the part of the devil that we're all going to burn at the stake, that I'm the witch. That ain't happening. And I think it's really shocking the left, shocking the Soros left, the Red-Green Alliance, that the cucking is over. And a lot of them are saying, whoa, we went too far. A lot of the Muslims are saying, Sneeko, shut up. I saw a lot of that. And a lot of the Israel firsters are getting, and even a lot of Christian Zionists, it's mainly just older boomers, get it now. And, even with younger Protestants, they're breaking with this. And so that's why I say even midterm, long term, because of basic survival, this pressure and these attacks is waking the West up out of its stupor. Closing comments on that. And then I want to get into the current situation with Iran. Looking forward to the midterms and beyond with Nick J. Fuentes.
I totally agree with you. And I think that, these guys like Sneeko are doing a lot of damage, because the reason they have been so successful in their invasion of the West and all the rest of it is because they have portrayed themselves as the victims. And so it's much easier to be sympathetic to the Muslims when they come across as these poor, oppressed people that were victims of colonialism and victims of U.S.-led warfare and victims of the genocide. It's this victimization. And so I said this on my show the other week. On one side of their mouth, the Muslims will say, poor us, boo-hoo, look at these crying Muslims. That means we shouldn't have borders. Let Syrians into Europe. Let all these refugees into the United States. And then once they get here, then you get a totally different face. Then you get that clip you played earlier where Sneeko says, it's all going to be Muslims. Every city's going to look like this. Islam's going to dominate the world. And you go, whoa, whoa, whoa. What happened to you guys being victims and you can never lose a war and all the... And you realize this is something they're perpetrating against us, which is they are using liberalism. They're weaponizing our liberal attitudes, our blank slateism, our individualism, all these ideals, all of these preconceived notions that only we have in the West. They're weaponizing it against us. So, for example, Muslims will come here and say, well, what about free speech? Hey, you don't believe in free speech. You believe in Sharia law, but you're going to use our liberal attitudes about that to get you in the country and then promote your intolerant ideology. The same goes for the human rights, the rest of it. They come here and they say, what about the human rights of the Palestinians? Human rights? What about human rights in the rest of the Middle East? What about human rights for the kafir, for the infidels? I don't think that exists in your religion. And so it's time basically for us to wisen up and protect our civilization. I actually happen to like some of what liberalism offers. I like what rationalism offers. That's part of our civilization. But in order for us to preserve it, we actually have to actively protect it. And that means there needs to be this strong armed intervention. That's why I'm calling for us to organize as white people, as people of Western civilization. I'm in favor of some kind of tyranny. I really wish Trump were more of a tyrant because we need to protect our civilization actually from itself in a sense. These liberal ideas are being used against us to destroy the civilization that created them. So to kind of tie a bow on it, that is the basis under which we need to unite against the left, the third worldists, the Zionists, all these other civilizations trying to undermine us from within.
And that's what they always do. And that's been the way of the world. And the West tried to change that and have it be about ideals and velvet revolutions. And we have to understand they're cheating. They're overturning the chessboard. And we're going to say, okay, you want to fight? At every level, economic, legal, spiritual, when you get violent, militarily, you want to fight. We're not looking for one, but you came to the right place. Hence the beginning of Crusades 2.0, the Jerusalem cross as our standard. I just love that cross, and I love it. I see all the crosses, and I love them so much. But that one I particularly just feel drawn to, and that is the crusade, my friends. That's taking back Jerusalem. That's what it's all about. Now, And to be for everybody, too, when we take it over. But I'm sorry. Oh, my God, Titus is coming again. It's Pompeo. The emperor has ordered it. All I'm telling you is that's where this is all going in the end, folks. Now, Nick, since you mentioned this, I want to finish up with Islam and then move on to Iran. It's all part of that in the midterms and Trump's trap that he's gotten into. But the Muslims in the last few months, it's every weekend, all over the world, from Australia to the U.S., from New Zealand to Canada, from Germany to France, the UK, they're just, I've seen it in Austin, taking over, screaming Allah Akbar, city councils, county commissions, state houses, saying, we're taking over, we're ruling, we're going to dominate you, we're unstoppable. They're building giant mosques everywhere. They're saying, you're infidels. Here's some footage that just happened in Las Vegas where they took over the city council screaming Allah Akbar, which is what they do when they kill people. How do you respond, and why do you think they've gotten so aggressive and it's just escalating? Here's the clip.
This is amazing today. Allahu Akbar.
You establish your behaviors enough. You refrain from either fault, but your family, your spouse, your children, they didn't do any of that. And you didn't warn them, you didn't try to fix them. You're also responsible.
They take over the highways, they take over the roads, they prey in your front yard. It's a dog hiding his leg and pissing on you. They go into public schools in Austin and hand out Qurans and have little girls wear hijabs, same thing all over the world. I mean, and that's them being more friendly in their takeover, but what is this marking of the territory? How should we respond to it?
Well, they're emboldened, and what you find particularly in Europe, maybe less so in the United States, but more so in Europe, the Europeans are so demoralized, especially in a country like the United Kingdom. The native people of the UK are not religious. They're not Christian. They're all cynical atheists. And you look at the young people, they don't like their country. It's a lot of white guilt, but it's also just a lot of disillusionment. The political system is not efficacious. There's obviously an empire in decline. It's just like a miserable, sad country. And so what happens is the confrontation between this totally nihilistic, despairing, suicidal country that offers nothing, no vision, no idea, with these young, militant, radical fanatics. And that is the difference. Muslims are having kids. Muslims skew younger. They have this big population boom in the past 20 years. They have this religion which they really believe in. Like it's not a cultural relic. It's not an anachronism. It's alive and they believe in it. It shapes their view of the cosmos and the world and the political
and
order.
And they feel it's powerful. They say we're going to rule and they're coming.
Yeah. And they're together, you know, and all these things, what they have in common is they're together. They go and pray together. It's a fraternal communal function and they're pounding their chest and they're yelling out loud. Like you said, they feel powerful. This is something uniting their army. And what happens when those people flood into a civilization where the people have given up? The people don't believe in anything. They don't believe in themselves. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in their nations. They don't have families. You know, they're just getting high all the time. They're getting high or they're doing some kind of hedonistic stuff. But they don't even have jobs. They're all on welfare. What happens is, well, the younger, more fanatical, more organized people are just going to exert themselves. They're going to expand. They're going to exert themselves. And you know what? I don't even necessarily think on some level that's the worst thing, only because you can actually see a scenario where, and I think you said this too, it catalyzes an equal and opposite reaction. Maybe that's the threat that shakes everybody awake. And I'm not an accelerationist. I'm not saying we should bring in more.
No, but they're accelerating, so that's the way it is. And we got to take action. In closing, because we're almost out of time, some of the most important stuff we're getting to at the end, but we always cover this first. So huge developments. Iran said, we've never made a deal. Trump keeps saying it 130 days in. And then so they blow up three ships. They hit Bahrain. They hit Kuwait U.S. bases, devastating them. We know they covered up in the last 130 days just how bad the devastation is. That's confirmed by Congress. Iran holds the cards. They're not going to fall anytime soon if ever. The straits closed, killing Trump's recovery. And Trump said today, I played it the first hour, he's like, I don't care what happens to the war. We're just going to obliterate them, and they're losers, and their ships are on the bottom. But they hold the cards with economic warfare, the Strait of Hormuz, devastating the recovery, and inflation. And then Israel's response is, everybody's anti-Israel now. We'll just merge with your military and own your weapons. And that's in the NDAA. That's passed out of committee, Section 224. So the Telegraph gets it right. Iran's regime is now stronger than before Trump's war. So Levin and all those people and walked Trump into this disaster. They knew it. They want a ground invasion. That we haven't sunk yet. We're the Titanic in the iceberg field. We got to turn around and get out of the iceberg field. Can you speak to where you see this war going that you predicted 3 years ago that would kill us in the midterms? If there's any way to extricate, and then we're almost out of time, just to kind of compress it, what happens in the midterms, and then what's coming in 2028? The left bringing back their censorship, Republicans doing their own forms of it. I mean, we got some serious problems. Nick Fuentes.
I think as far as the Iran conflict is concerned, we're going back to war. I think that much is obvious. And that's because this entire diplomatic process has been a sham.
They just bombed Tehran an hour ago. Sorry.
They bombed Tehran. Iran said they're going to retaliate 2-1. Every one target that we hit, they're going to hit two of ours. And look, I think that fundamentally every side, Israel, Iran, and the United States, they all recognize there's going to be no peace deal. So what was this all really about? A reprieve. I think that Iran wanted a reprieve from being bombed so they could rebuild their drone and missile production capability. And I think the U.S. allowed Iran to sell their oil with the sanctions waiver and even allow some of the shipping through the strait with Iran's permission to give us a reprieve economically, introduce a little bit more oil supply to offset the fact that the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is going to run out in something like 6 to 7 weeks or something like this. So I think that there's really no confidence on anybody's part in Tehran and Tel Aviv and Washington that this ceasefire would hold, that it would give way to a real peace agreement. This was buying time for every side to lock and load and get ready for the next round of fighting, which is all but inevitable. It's just a question of when. As far as the midterms are concerned, Republicans are going to get utterly destroyed. I think we certainly lose the House. There's a chance we lose the Senate, although with Graham Plattner now potentially bowing out, and you know, he might not. He might stay in the race. But I think it makes it a little more tricky for the Democrats to get in. Once the Democrats take control of the House, 2027 and 2028 are going to be brutal, because you look at even what happened in this spring. You got to pay attention to the government shutdown this spring. When Trump sent those CBP and ICE into Minneapolis and that big surge, how did the Democrats respond? Now, even though right now Republicans control the House, Republicans control the Senate, Republicans need a 3/5 majority in the Senate to pass any meaningful legislation. So they still need 7 Democrats to go with them on any major legislation. Democrats are using their minority position in the Senate to do a partial shutdown of DHS for something like 2 months. Remember when TSA was shut down, all the airports had these unbelievable wait times? That's because the Democrats said, we're not going to pass appropriations for DHS unless they do body cams on ICE agents, unless they stop the raids inside of people's homes, they stop the patrols going down the streets of the major cities. And so, in other words, Democrats were able to exert pressure on executive policy, even only being in the minority in both chambers. Point being is, what happens when Democrats control the House? Which, by the way, and they'll control it outright, the House has the purse strings, oversight powers, power to impeach. They're going to shut it all down. And so if people think Trump's got 2 more years to get his act together, he doesn't. It's over. Because the second that the Democrats get seated in January, forget the Senate, even when they take the House, they're going to impeach these government officials, they're going to subpoena and depose, and maybe most importantly, they're going to use their power of the purse strings to actually exert influence on all government policy. And they're going to do to everything what they did to DHS this spring, which is they're going to tell the Trump administration, if you don't stop the mass deportations, if you don't stop the border wall, if you don't stop this, that, and the other, then we're not going to fund your omnibus bill. We're not going to fund your Defense Authorization Act. We're going to shut down the government. And they're going to be able to do that because simultaneously, they're going to be doing subpoenas, depositions. They're going to be bringing all this corruption to the forefront. You know, this
and
stuff,
we can
for
thank
example.
The Epstein cover up and the Iran war for Trump putting us in this position. And then 2028, it's all up in the air.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, because there's a storm brewing on both sides. On the Republican side, it's the Levins versus the Carlsons. It's Rubio versus Vance. You know, there's obviously some serious gamesmanship going on between Rubio and Vance, and the Iran negotiations are a proxy for that. Rubio is steering clear. Vance is throwing himself in the middle of it because he thinks if he solves it, he's going to not be blamed for the Iran war. So that's a big battle. But on the Democrat side, there are some signs of trouble over there as well.
Well, the Democrat Socialist winning. Yeah, absolutely. Nick, we're out of time. You'll be on tonight doing your stream. Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble. I wish we had more time. Thank you for so much time. Look forward to speaking to you again more about 2028. This is important to look forward into the future. Thank you, Nick Fuentes.
Thanks for having me. Great interview.
Powerful. But best interview yet we've done. All right. Harrison's coming up. He's going to simulcast my debate with Sneeko in the first hour. So go to Real Alex Jones on X. Go to rumble.com/Alex Jones Show. rumble.com/The War Room Live. Go to the easiest place is alexjoneslive.com. And you'll just see the network feed, Harrison, The War Room, coming up here in about 7 minutes. Let me just tell everybody this, too. You got 10 minutes to go to the alexjonesstore.com and get buy one, get one free on the methylene blue and other stuff. That ends at 3. It has to end. We have the new shower filters that cut out everything. They're incredible. They're the very best, highest-rated filtration systems, the lowest prices. For VIPs, they're $69. For everybody else, they're $100. Similar systems that aren't even as good sell for like $130. This is an incredible deal. We also have the silver coins that are going to sell out in a week or so that are a fundraiser coin with the Jerusalem cross, 1776. America says for continual, the American eagle on the other side with the American flag. These are gorgeous at the AlexJonesStore.com. I want to thank all of you that have gotten the coin There's only 5,000 of these. Roughly half have sold. Thank you all for your support. We want to get more crew, more reporters, more hosts. It takes money to do that. This is a great memento that you supported the broadcast. It's a fundraiser coin. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And everybody should be a VIP because the silver coin is $117.17. Well, it's $99 or $97 for VIPs. The filters are $67 instead of a $99. I mean, everybody should be a VIP. $30 a month, you get $40 to spend in the store instantly. Special deals, special sales, special offers. Everything has sales on top of sales when you're a VIP, thealexjonesstore.com. But now, I want to talk about something truly revolutionary that's so key now and into the future you must take action on. Here it is, and then Harrison Smith simulcasting my debate with Sneeko. Stay with us. I am about to reveal something that is one of the most revolutionary ideas I have ever talked about on air. And in the future, it's going to be the most revolutionary idea. The entire future battle that humanity faces against the globalist mark of the beast social credit score system will be fought on this battlefield. I'm talking about debanking. I'm talking about deplatforming. I'm talking about the globalist war, not just on the nation state and the family and the individual, but on small, medium, and even large businesses they don't control. That's the real undeclared war that is intensifying across the planet right now. And America is the front lines. This information is revolutionary. And this is the keys to success and being independent from this predatory system. I'm about to break it down right now. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are? Hardcore. Are you still after him? Why?
Because he's broke. He got found guilty and had to pay like $100 million.
So what? Why were you after him?
We're not anymore.
Just to get the money from him?
Yeah.
Was that court case used? Was that a CIA?
Sure was.
So with Alex Jones.
And the goal with him was what? Just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when. Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, has been very clear. Once they have this system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. That's FirstUnitedPayments.com. and talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. Or go to firstamericanpayments.com. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. They're the only ones that have withstood all the attacks. We always tried to have backups. We would have a couple backups. We lost dozens and dozens of them and dozens of banks, but not First United Payments. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit firstunitedpayments.com right now. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.